93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday and it's June 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, heavy downpours caused flooding in several places across the Delaware Valley early this morning. Like we mentioned, the Schuylkill Expressway eastbound closed between the Blue Route and Belmont. And correction, it started shortly after midnight. I said about an hour ago. It was shortly after midnight that traffic was stopped on the eastbound lane. So it's been a few hours that the flooding is causing issues and causing this closure. The Schuylkill Expressway between King of Prussia and Gulf Mills is jammed. Several vehicles were stopped in water. Traffic behind them were not moving. Now, a car was stopped on a flooded area of Gulf Road as well. Some drivers, obviously, you have these drivers, you know, they try to plow through the flood waters. Others wisely stop and turn around and try to find alternate routes. If you go through that flooded water and you get stuck, that's it.
I mean, there's always a problem with the drainage and all of that on the expressway.
Yeah.
They retooled a lot of it a couple of years ago and tried to get a handle on it, but it just seems like they never can get
and
that,
they clean,
that
like,
problem
issued. A lot of times when maintenance crews are out there, they're cleaning the drain, so they're trying.
Yeah. But it's so much to stay on top of.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of feet of water, they were saying. 2 feet of water. That's
a little too much.
Retained, yeah.
Jesus.
Look at that. Wow.
Yeah, I know. We're looking at the video.
Video footage of it.
Looks like a river. It looks like a canal.
And cars are stuck in it.
Yep.
So a shelter actually has been opened for residents affected by flooding in Willingboro, New Jersey. They got hit hard as well. It's located at the Kennedy Center. The Rancocas Creek flooded, and several people have been rescued from vehicles there. No injuries have been reported, fortunately. Several drivers also became stuck in high waters on Route 38 in Cherry Hill. That was closed for a period of time in the early morning, but reopened at about 4:30 this morning. So be careful of flooding. Lincoln Drive is closed down. There's flooding there as well. So it's all over the area this morning. The Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office is investigating a police-involved shooting in Deptford Township. Officials said Deptford Township police officers were dispatched to the Marshals in the 1800 block of Clements Bridge Road near the Deptford Mall at about 3:40 Saturday for a report of shoplifting in progress. The Prosecutor's Office said prior to their arrival, police were alerted that one of the alleged suspects was wanted in connection to a prior homicide. When they arrived at the scene, police said they encountered three people who left the store with a substantial amount of unpaid merchandise. According to reports, one of the suspects, identified as Raul Gadsden of Philadelphia, was fighting with a loss prevention agent from the store. Investigators said when officers arrived, Gadsden ran while the two women that he was with got into a rented Nissan Armada. Officers who were outside of their cars in the parking lot commanded the driver to stop, but instead, police said the female driver accelerated towards them.
Hmm.
Authorities said the open driver's side door struck one of the officers as the driver was racing towards another sergeant. The sergeant fired three shots at the driver, identified as 36-year-old LaShonda Anderson of Philadelphia, striking her twice. One of the shots struck Anderson in the chest. After the shooting, the car veered and continued across the parking lot and down an access road behind the parking lot where it came to rest. Anderson was pronounced dead at the scene. Officers also arrested the 27-year-old passenger that was in the car with her, Chanel Barnes. Barnes was charged with shoplifting and is currently being held at the Salem County Correctional Facility pending a detention hearing. The sergeant was taken to an area hospital where he was treated and released. Now, officials said he will be placed on administrative leave pending an investigation of the incident, which is standard. There were no reports of any other injuries to officers. Gadsden remains at large. He will be charged with second-degree robbery and assault charges. The incident is under investigation by the Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office. A Kirkland Air Force Base officer with top security clearance who disappeared 35 years ago has been found in California. The Air Force officer of special investigation said in a news release this week that William Howard Hughes Jr. was apprehended at his home after a fraud investigation involving a fake identity he had been using.
This is a wild story.
It is. Hughes was involved in classified planning and analysis, command and communication surveillance systems during the Cold War. He specialized in radar surveillance. Hughes, a captain, was 33 years old and single when he vanished, according to a news report from the time of his disappearance. Hughes was last seen withdrawing more than $28,000 in Albuquerque in the summer of 1983 and returned from a two-week vacation in Europe. He had just completed a stint in the Netherlands, where he was with the Airborne Warning and Control electronic surveillance aircraft. An Office of Special Investigations spokesperson told the Albuquerque Journal that there is no indication Hughes was involved with the Soviet Union or that any classified information was leaked. Hughes told authorities after his capture Wednesday that he was depressed about being in the Air Force and decided to leave. He created a fake identity and lived in California ever since. Hughes was charged with desertion and is being held at the Travis Air Force Base in California. It's unclear if he had an attorney who would comment on his behalf.
It's wild for living, you know, think about living all that time with that secret looming over you. You know, are you just unhinged and you have no problem processing it, or do you constantly live in fear of being found out?
And a completely different identity.
Yeah.
I mean, just living as someone else. Very bizarre.
So like living a long, like productive life was working and all that stuff?
I don't know. Didn't say anything like that, but I mean, he was living a completely different life in California. Yeah. Very bizarre. All right, in sports this morning. The Phillies ended their series against the Milwaukee Brewers with a 4-3 win yesterday afternoon at the ballpark. Zach Eflin tied his career high with 9 strikeouts over 6 innings, and the Phillies ended a 4-game losing streak. Rhys Hoskins drove in 2 runs, including a go-ahead sacrifice fly in the third run, in a 3-run fifth off reliever Dan Jennings, as the Phillies won for only the 4th time in 14 games. They're off today before opening up a home series tomorrow night against the Colorado Rockies. In tennis, Rafael Nadal won another Grand Slam tournament at the Roland Garros, winning his 2nd record-extending 11th French Open championship in a straight-set victory over number 7 seed Dominic Thiem. Nadal has won 3 titles at the U.S. Open, 2 at Wimbledon, and 1 at the Australian Open, improving his total to 17 majors, 2nd among men only to Roger Federer's 20. The 2 stars have combined to win the past 6 Grand Slam titles.
Wow.
On Saturday, Justify won the 150th Belmont Stakes in New York by 1¾ lengths, leading throughout the entire race to give the sport its 13th Triple Crown champion. American Pharoah ended a 37-year Triple Crown drought in 2015, and now just 3 years later, horse racing has another sweep of the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. Yesterday, Justify became the most valuable horse in racing history. Before the Belmont Stakes, the horse's owners agreed to sell his breeding rights for $60 million, but the Triple Crown was worth an additional $15 million, making the total deal $75 million. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. Monday morning indeed. And let's do a little in-house assessment. We're having some technical issues this morning. So Marissa just handed me a note that says the coolest teacher voting results are frozen.
They're frozen.
Yeah, so we are going to be asking for some assistance from, I guess, our IT department or something. So those are going to have to be put on hold for now. So normally we would announce it at this point in time, but we gotta make it legit. So we got to get the information.
Is that Mercury retrograde crap going on, or what's the story?
Not really sure. Don't know. I mean, there's flooding on the Schuylkill Expressway.
Yeah. Yes.
Anything could be happening. Maybe. So anyhow, we'll have to check in with that, the results later on for Delran High School, and we'll get you those as soon as we can. In the meantime, we have new Word of the Week prize this week. We have the perfect Father's Day gift, and it is the thrill of a lifetime to drive a NASCAR stock car 20 miles Pocono Raceway, and it is through 877stockcar.com. So we give that away on Friday. Listen up for the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Case, do we have any more movie screening passes for The Incredibles tonight?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so that screening is tonight, and we'll have just a handful of those to give away, and we might have some for tag. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
We have a lot of prizes. We have to do some assessments and Free Music Monday as well, so we have your opportunity to grab some stuff today. Now, guest-wise on the program, we have a Not Your Average listener. That person will be stopping in around 9 o'clock, so we'll find out what her, or old tip,
yes,
dad, what her special thing is to make her Not Your Average listener. And we also have a gentleman named Victor DiMattia. He was in the movie The Sandlot, played Timmy Timmons, and is in town for Philly Beer Week because Evil Genius Brewery has a beer called You're Killing Me Smalls.
That's pretty wild.
And he was stopping by to sample that. So we will we'll say hello to him and find out his story and talk about The Sandlot, if you will. So anything else, Case? I heard you go, ooh.
No, it's just because I farted.
Just random ooing? Oh, yeah, farting ooing?
It was right. A good one.
Yes. Yeah. Like a warm
yeah,
one.
You're savoring it. Like seeing an old friend.
Yeah, yep. It's yep. like that. Yep. All right, so these Never things ends. And more. I will get to the giveaways in just a moment, so make sure you stay close. Like I said, we got a bunch of stuff. So let's take a break, come back in a second. A lot of stories from the world of entertainment that I will have for you. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, give Dad some peace and quiet this Father's Day with a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley to choose from. Go to handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A question, giveaway some tickets to see the legendary Big Apple Circus, which is going on now through the 24th at the Philadelphia Mills Mall. The question that I have for you is, what do the red and white stripes on a barber pole represent?
Uh-huh.
Let's see if you can get that. 215-263-WMMR. What do the red and white stripes on a barber pole represent? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you can get it right. Today's birthdays, as we're waiting for your answer, include on June 11th, include Shia LaBeouf. And Mr. LaBeouf is celebrating his 33rd birthday today.
He's a good actor.
He has... somewhat stayed out of trouble for the past few months because there was a stretch where at least every other month we were yes. hearing something about him.
Initially, when he set up his direct video feed, what he believed was to the White House to tell President Trump what you thought of him, he had that thing set up. He was starting to go off the deep end, and then he was getting arrested a lot for things like smoking at the Broadway showing of Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, Preston. He seems to have pulled it back in.
Maybe.
Because to your point, Casey, he is a good actor.
Yeah. He is.
He just wish he'd just act.
Yep. So he's 33 today, Shia LaBeouf.
Do it!
Frank Beard of ZZ Top, the only member that doesn't have a beard, the drummer, and he is 70 years old today.
70. Wow,
yep,
man.
Yep. And love that band. They played the MM Barbecue.
Yes, they did.
Back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're a hit machine. They still bring it. So, a happy birthday to Mr. Frank Beard celebrating his 70th. Also, Joshua Jackson, the actor, Dawson's Creek's Pacey, Cruel Intentions on Fringe.
Yeah.
In the Mighty Ducks movies, too. I guess he was one of the kids. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So he's 41 today.
You were a big Dawson's Creek guy, weren't you?
I was all yeah. over it. No, I didn't care at all.
I remember watching Cruel Intentions and hating every second.
Yeah. The only reason you watched it was to get to the lesbian kiss.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, there were two attractive girls in it, women in it, but...
Who were they? I don't remember.
Sarah Michelle Gellar and...
Selma Blair.
Selma Blair, yeah.
Okay. So he is 41 today. Adrienne Barbeau.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
She of the large breast disease. And was in The Fog and Escape from New York and Cannonball Run and Back to School.
Yeah.
Remember.
She was the cheating wife.
That's correct. Yeah.
She was also married to John Carpenter for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on Maud. And she was originally, we talked to her on the show, she was a Playboy bunny.
Yep. She is celebrating her 74th birthday today.
Ooh, still time.
Still time.
Still. Got about 6 years, right?
Yep.
The great Peter Dinklage.
Wow.
Has a birthday. And he is 49 years old. Yeah. Game of Thrones, Tyrion Lannister, probably the best character on that show, period.
I got to get on my game, so I'm 5 episodes in, but I have a lot of ground to cover.
Did you see the picture I tagged you on Instagram? It was the lion that looked like Jaime Lannister?
No.
No?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw that as a meme floating around, right?
Yeah. Well, I just saw it on Instagram, and to me, the first thing I thought, I was like, wow, that looks a lot like Jaime Lannister. And then I went and looked at all of the comments on it, and I wasn't the only one who thought that.
And the sigil of House Lannister is the lion, of course.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's why it fits right into that. So, but not only Game of Thrones, but Elf, X-Men, Days of Future Past, Avengers Infinity War. Yeah.
And what they did with him in that is great. He's also on a hilarious episode of 30 Rock. I don't know if you ever saw that.
But,
he can do it. He can do it all.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He's 49 today. Hugh Laurie from House and Veep is 59.
Super talented actor. House, to me, was a little annoying because I get it. You're a genius, you're a prick, and you cure people. But the character, to me, was so annoying that I couldn't watch it. Now, he's also on one of the funniest SNL skits ever, mocking those ghost hunting shows.
Okay.
Where they go to, like, a thermal camera, Preston, and as they're in this room, they're hearing strange sounds. You realize he's farting.
Yeah.
But the thermal camera's picking up the gas escaping from his ass. It's very funny.
So 59 today. Greta Van Susteren, former Fox News Channel host, is 64.
She completely changed the way she looked after the OJ trial. She got major plastic surgeries. Not like she became a raving beauty, but she looks dramatically different.
And then last birthday is NFL great, Joe Montana.
Ah.
And Joe is celebrating his 62nd birthday today.
Man, his second greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's the
stat-wise?
No. Just that people have that argument.
Handled dozens of balls over the past
that
week.
That was not supposed to happen, but it happened.
Well,
but
that was the greatest.
Jermaine.
Yeah.
Because it was the first.
That's the greatest quarterback of all time right there.
All right. So happy birthday to Joe. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What do the red and white stripes on a barber's pole represent? 215-263-WMMR. It is Tim that I'm going to go to. Hey, Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Blood and bandages.
Blood and bandages.
Bandages! Yeah.
Oh, absolutely correct. And hang on the line. We'll get your information, Tim. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see the legendary Big Apple Circus, which is going on now through June 24th at the Philadelphia Mills Mall. Celebrate 40 years under the big top with the greatest acts ever assembled. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. At the box office over the weekend, Ocean's 8 was number one, took in $41.5 million, a little more than they had expected, and in fact, the best take of any of those Oceans movies.
Really?
Yeah, the best opening day of any of those Oceans movies. Isn't that surprising?
That's very surprising when you consider you had some of the heavyweight male actors in the original series.
Right.
Yeah, and so they done good. And
yeah.
I haven't heard any. I didn't talk to anybody who saw it, so I don't know much about it.
Decent reviews.
Yeah. Decent?
Just decent. Not a rave, just decent.
It got, what did it get, Rotten Tomatoes? 68%, so not bad.
Yeah.
Then you had Solo, followed by Deadpool 2. Hereditary was fourth. Avengers Infinity War still in there at top five. Adrift, Book Club, Hotel Artemis was at number 8.
Oh, that's the movie we were asking about, Preston. It seems like sort of like the a John Wick extension.
Yep.
Like the Hotel, the Continental.
Yeah. Then you have Upgrade and Life of the Party rounding out the top 10. There you go. That's your box office. So, news of Anthony Bourdain's death, which we, became aware of on Friday at age 61, shocked the world. Celebrities took to social media all weekend long to share their heartbreak and beg people who are suffering from mental illness to seek help. The news of his death also came on the heels of Kate Spade's suicide, making the loss seem especially stark and dramatic, observers pointed out. The chef turned author and TV host was reportedly discovered by fellow chef Eric Rippert in his 5-star room at Le Chambard, a converted 18th-century mansion in Strasbourg, France. He reportedly committed suicide using the belt of his bathrobe to hang himself. Spade also committed suicide by hanging, and many news reports of their deaths noted that the rate of suicide has spiked 25% since 1999, according to the Centers for Disease Control.
Right, and after things like this, they spike even more when it you have stories like this popping up in the news. It sort of spurs people on who are contemplating it.
Rippert and Bourdain, longtime friends, were filming an upcoming episode of Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. Friends were first alerted to trouble when Bourdain failed to show up for a dinner reservation at the Bistro Windstub. When he didn't show up for breakfast either, Rippert went to investigate. Reports indicate that the suicide appeared to have been an impulsive act. Toxicology reports are pending on this.
Did you hear anything, Preston? I don't know if anyone else has heard this, that he had been battling lung cancer, had beaten it, and it might have returned.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen anything about that.
I saw on one site, and that was it. I didn't see anything else corroborating it.
Yeah, I've they're still waiting for any kind of official word.
And still, it just it just makes me so, you know, mad, I guess I can say, that when these people have kids, and either way, there's family that's affected, but when they have young kids, like, God, I wish you could just go back in time and sit down and talk to them for a second, you know, and talk some sense into them before they do it.
I know. It's the ultimate, you know, there are multiple tragedies associated with anything like this, but the fact that you believe that were they able to do that, it would dissuade them from taking their lives.
Seriously. And you know what? Even when they're adult children, it's still terrible.
Well, he's been providing, you know, moral support for his girlfriend, Aja Argento, who is going through the whole Weinstein thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's just
so
crazy.
So sad.
Yeah.
In a statement, Aja had hailed Bourdain's unflagging support and love throughout the whole Harvey Weinstein process. As many fellow mourners noted, he was steadfast in his support of both her and other accusers of the Me Too movement in general. She had said Anthony gave all of himself in everything that he did. He's brilliant, fearless. His brilliant, fearless spirit touched and inspired so many, and his generosity knew no bound. They met in 2016 when she appeared on Parts Unknown. She said, "He was my love, my rock, my protector. I am beyond devastated. My thoughts are with his family, and I would ask that you respect their privacy and mine." By the way, yeah, a bunch of other people weighed in as well. Director Darren Aronofsky said that he felt devastated. He said, "I don't feel much else." He said, "Tony was a loyal friend and an inspiration, always sensitive, always connected, always inquisitive, always fun. We had great times exploring Madagascar and Bhutan together, and I will never forget his spirit, his conviction, his professionalism, his passion, his love for his daughter, his love for Aja and her kids, his vision, his stories, his drive for justice, and his wicked sense of humor. Thank you, Tony." Other condolences and tributes from stars and politicians, including Barack Obama, Chrissy Teigen, and Bryan Cranston poured in on social media. He shared an 11-year-old daughter, Ariane, with his ex-wife, Otavia Buzia. And on his show and interviews and reportedly in person, he has always long spoke warmly of his love for his daughter.
Didn't he say after his initial divorce there from her that he contemplated suicide a number of times as he was getting out of depression after that?
Oh, yeah, really? He's spoken about suicide and depression a lot over his adult life. And I've spoken to a lot of people over the last few days where this was really a gut punch. And, you know, on the heels of the Kate Spade, who also had a young child, it's just two back-to-back in a row that were really awful.
His mother, Gladys, who was 83, a longtime editor at New York Times, could barely speak when reached for comment by reporters saying he is the last person in the world I'd imagine to do something like that. So his mom didn't have an idea.
Well, yeah. And again, as you say, Preston, all the money in the world. So here's a guy who's doing everything he'd want to do. He's traveling around the world. He's going to far-flung places. He's eating the finest food in the world. Heads of state, celebrities. But you don't know what's going on inside someone. Yeah. You don't know the pain they're suffering. You know, to the outside world, it could be glorious. But to you, you could be suffering.
There's a great commercial for an anti-depression medication. I don't know which one it is. But have you guys ever seen it where the people are in social situations, worse situations, and they're holding up a little happy face?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Little thing in front of them. So they're putting on a front.
Yeah.
They put on this front to just kind of get through the day. And inside, it's a totally different story. And that's kind of a representation of what it might be like.
I
can't speak to it personally. All right, other things. Vince Vaughn was arrested for driving under the influence at 1 a.m. on Sunday in Manhattan Beach, California, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Sources tell the publication that the 48-year-old was taken into custody after failing a routine checkpoint set by police. So he got caught in a checkpoint. He was arrested and charged with DUI and resisting. Another passenger who was not identified was arrested on obstruction and public intoxication charges. Vaughn had a run-in with police in 2001 when he was arrested for a bar fight in Wilmington, North Carolina. Steve Buscemi got stabbed during that fight.
What? Wait, really?
I think I forgot about this fight.
Remember that time we got a fight, Steve Buscemi got stabbed?
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, that was nuts.
That's why his eyes look that way.
Oh, no.
The assault charge against him was later dropped. So Vaughn's reps did not respond to requests for comments. Police released his mugshot Sunday afternoon. He chose to go with a smiling mugshot.
Here we go.
He
it's
was
pleasant.
Reportedly released on $5,000 bail. According to the Daily Mail, his wife, Kayla Weber, was seen entering the back of the police station with a police escort and is believed to have left with Vaughn hiding in the back of her car.
My guess is he'll take ownership of it and do the proper mea culpa. It's his first DUI. Apparently not his first stabbing. No. But that's wild.
Yep. Whoopsie. So that was one of the big stories over the weekend. The 72nd Annual Tony Awards were held last night. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child Parts 1 and 2 nabbed Best Play. And The Band's Visit was recognized as the best musical in an emotional Tony Awards. It mixed Broadway razzle dazzle with politically charged calls to arms. Angels in America, a sprawling two-part drama about the AIDS crisis, was recognized as the best revival of a play.
So the one that you mentioned, the band, what is the name of it, Preston? The
Band's Visit.
Right. That sort of came out of the blue, and they were talking about that they were giving away tickets a lot for shows.
Really?
Yeah, just sort of pad the audience initially, and it just roared in and just dominated.
Anybody else watch any of it last night?
Yeah, I did.
I watched a bit of it.
Did you guys see the Squidward performance?
No.
Oh, my God.
From the SpongeBob stage
right,
show?
So I'm not a Broadway person, and I'm not a watch the Tony Awards kind of a guy, but I was flipping through the channels, and there was a setup with Josh Groban and somebody else, whoever the co-host was. And they cut to the Squidward performance. This guy came out, and first of all, he knocked it out of the park. It was incredible. But he has these two legs that are attached to his real legs to make him look like Squidward.
Yeah.
His impression of Squidward, or impression probably isn't the right word, but
did he play the clarinet?
Portrayal.
His embodiment of the character was phenomenal. I was so impressed by it. And then this whole performance was really incredible.
All right.
He did not play the clarinet, no.
Listen, you know what? Even though it's a goofy subject matter, SpongeBob, it's Broadway. So they're gonna have great performance no matter what.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I see what they did here. Yeah, we're looking at video of this. So sometimes, have you ever seen street performers where it's one guy, but he's got like a chorus line of six people?
Dancing with me on a stick. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
And then he went into a tap routine and he was surrounded by a whole bunch of other dancers. And so his performance was really incredible. And I was just really very impressed by it.
So you think this is where I think the miracle worker missed the mark? If Helen Keller had four legs, it would have been more impressive.
Yeah.
So Sunday was also a night of upsets. And one notable bracket buster, Once on This Island, was named best revival of a musical over the heavily favored My Fair Lady and Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. So that was a bit of an upset. But listen to this. So students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School appeared on the stage to perform the song Seasons of Love from Rent. The kids are survivors of the Parkland, Florida school shooting earlier this year. And can you imagine how nervous these kids must have been? They're standing in front of Broadway's elite.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell.
To sing this, and they were amazing. I have Marissa grab some audio, so I'm going to play a little bit of this. It was so well done. Awesome, man, for a bunch of high school kids.
I did catch a bit of that, and it was very cool. And they were honoring their director, who they credit with helping to save a lot of their lives.
Wow. So that was pretty cool. Also last night, on a music side, Billy Joel presented his friend Bruce Springsteen with his special Tony Award for Lifetime Achievement in the theater at the American Theater's Wings 72nd Annual Tony Awards. It's the official name of it. The New York Daily News reported that Billy said when introducing Bruce, it's all about the man and his music. Thank you for bringing hundreds of thousands of new theatergoers to Broadway. And the boss gave a...
You're welcome!
He gave a short and appreciative thank you speech saying, this is deeply appreciated and thanks for making me feel so welcome on your block. Being a part of the Broadway community has been a great thrill and an honor for me. It's been one of the most exciting things that I've ever experienced. I have to thank Patty, my beautiful wife and artistic partner, for her love and inspiration every night. I have to thank John Landau, George Travis, Barbara Carr, and Jordan Roth for their work on getting the show on stage. And last but not least, our wonderful audiences who've made these shows so exciting and fulfilling.
You know, Billy and I go way back to a time before he was Mr. Clean.
Later on in the broadcast, Springsteen recalled growing up in Freehold, New Jersey, under the long shadow of Catholicism before performing My Hometown at the Piano. And he performs Wednesday night at the Walter Kerr Theater. So
yeah, I'd love to see the show, but, you know, those tickets are crazy expensive.
Yep, exactly. All right, so I have a very detailed account of Redmond O'Neill. Now, we had touched on this last week, but there's more on this guy. Of course, he's the son of Ryan O'Neill and late Farrah Fawcett, and he's into custody again, this time accused of a violent crime spree in Southern California.
So, okay, yeah, and it, obviously, you know, he has a troubled past with drug addiction, and the family's volatile to begin with, so let us have it.
Robbery detectives from the L.A. Department investigate a series of crimes that occurred from May 2nd to May 5th, and they believe all crimes are committed by the same suspect, and they have determined it's Redmond O'Neill. They said the suspect, described as having red hair and distinct tattoos, randomly attacked five men in unprovoked confrontations. Two of the five men were seriously injured. One of them stabbed in the head. What? I mean, this is crazy. So Redmond James O'Neill was arrested on May 8th after he was identified as the suspect in a 7-Eleven store robbery. That's the one that we had for you last week.
Yes.
But there was more to that. After the arrest, the violent crime spree ended and detectives found him to strongly match a description of the suspect in all of the crimes. There were eyewitness identifications and more. So it starts here. May 2nd, 8 p.m., a man believed to be O'Neill allegedly came upon another man on the street. Police said he became angry after the victim appeared to look at him.
You looking at me?
And then he punched him in. He punched the victim and armed himself with a glass bottle. He unsuccessfully tried to strike the victim with the broken glass bottle and fled the scene. The victim sustained some injuries to his face. Hours later, at about 3:30 a.m., a man was exiting a convenience store when the victim began engaging the suspect in conversation. A man believed to be O'Neill is accused of then becoming angry and repeatedly punching the victim in the head and threw him to the ground before fleeing.
Well, apparently this guy wouldn't believe that earlier there had been a guy looking at him.
At about 5 p.m. the next day, a suspect also believed to be O'Neill was walking near the Venice Beach boardwalk.
Oh, man.
Police said a victim looked at the suspect, at which time the suspect stabbed him with a knife. Jeez. Initially, the victim thought that he had been punched in the back, but once paramedics arrived, they found that he had been seriously stabbed. He had it on the left side of his body, a nasty wound.
Listen, I don't know Redmond, but it's becoming clear to me that he does not like to be looked at.
A little more than 3 hours later, several people found a man laying in a pool of blood with obvious stab wounds to his face and upper body. Nearby video surveillance captured a man matching the description of O'Neill walking away from the scene shortly after the victim was found lying on the sidewalk. The victim sustained serious stab wounds and cuts to his face, neck, and upper body. At about 4 p.m. on May 5th, a man believed to be O'Neill became belligerent inside a coffee shop. When an employee confronted the suspect, an argument ensued. The suspect became angry and brandished a folding knife. He then lunged, jabbed, and threatened to harm the employee with the knife before fleeing. So he apparently did all of this stuff.
How are you this angry when your father was one of the stars of Malibu's Most Wanted?
How about that?
I don't get it.
Yep, I'd say drugs are a bit of a problem.
Oh, maybe.
I've never stabbed anyone, nor do I plan to, but isn't stabbing somebody in the face difficult? Like, wouldn't you aim for someplace
Steve
else?
Yes, you're right. I mean, because it's got bone. You got bone. There's not a lot of
penetration. If you're wildly going, you really have no say as to where you're.
Aren't you going
to
aim for body?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the guy moved and got hit in the face. You know?
You would think.
I'm not sure.
He was doing the Charleston Preston, and that the part where you duck over, that's where he got stabbed.
But this dude is absolutely positively out of control.
Do you think there's any chance that he just wants to be put in prison for a long time and is looking to do that? I mean, his life has been just a disaster.
You would hope that, all right, because if he wants to stay out of prison, this isn't the way to do that.
No. He's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Maybe he has the book upside down.
Yeah, don't know. All right, that was an interesting stretch of days for that gentleman. Singer and actress Hilary Duff announced the happy news that she and her partner Matthew Coma are expecting a child together. She shared the update on Instagram, tagging Coma and saying that they made a little princess and couldn't be more excited. She shared a pic of them kissing, and her baby bump is just visible under a long maxi dress.
So this is her first kid for Hilary Duff?
No.
She has other kids, right?
Hang on a second here. It says, she's already got a kid.
Yeah, so her sister put those up for adoption.
Her sister Haley just welcomed her second daughter, Lulu Gray, on Tuesday. Hillary also shares Luca Cruz with her husband, Mike Comrie. Wow. Maybe this is the first one.
I don't know.
No, Hillary shares. Okay.
Hillary.
Between Haley and Hillary. I get confused. So anyhow.
Ringo.
She's got a baby on the way.
Yeah, wow. Yay.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Meg Ryan appeared on stage at an In Goop health event in L.A. on Saturday.
Okay. In Goop?
Yep. And the pair opened up about motherhood, Hollywood, and Me Too.
What did Meg Ryan say?
Asking Ryan about the confining label of America's sweetheart, the 45-year-old observed.
I don't know about that. Am I America's sweetheart? I don't know.
All that face work.
It's been a few years.
Yeah. Well, me, America's sweetheart, go on. I don't think so.
She said it's, let me see here. She said it doesn't necessarily imply that you're smart or sexual or complicated or anything. It's a label. And what can a label do but guess at you?
What the hell is she talking about? What are you talking about, Meg Ryan?
She also, Ryan.
She hasn't been the same since her boyfriend died in that jet fighter accident.
I guess so. Well, it says the.
That was her husband.
Ryan agreed, and the 56-year-old added that after quitting acting, she spent some time being, quote, very reactive instead of proactive. She also said that I didn't.
How about inactive?
She said, I didn't really aim to be an actor. I was a journalism major at school and a curious person, and I wanted to go back out into the world and figure out who I was, am, in a relationship to other things, in relationship to other things and other people and other environments.
Can you stop talking now?
She shares son Jack Quaid, who's 26, with her ex Dennis Quaid.
Jack Quaid's a great name.
Also raising adopted daughter Daisy Ryan, who is 13 years old today.
Jack Quaid sounds like a Schwarzenegger character.
Very little information about this, but did you guys see this kid, Sean O'Dell from the Goldbergs?
Yes!
Died. He was 20 years old, and they really haven't released any information. No signs of foul play.
The Goldbergs and Modern Family.
I don't really remember him.
No, he mostly just like, small, two or three episode appearances. Not a major character, but on enough.
I have him also being on Judy Moon and the Not Bummer Summer.
Not Bummer Summer, yeah, I know that one.
So he was a kid actor. He was on like iCarly and things like that. No signs of foul play, it says, and he was found unresponsive in a sober living home. So I guess he was having some issues, and yeah. So
that blows.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. So sad news there. You want some other sad news?
Yes, please. Yeah. I love it. Keep it coming.
No, then we'll get to happy news after that. The first ever Bond girl, Eunice Gayson, has died. She was 90 years old. She starred as James Bond's love interest, Sylvia Trench, opposite Sir Sean Connery in Dr. No back in 1962.
The iconic scene of all Bond movies, when James Bond first is introduced, she is across the... I don't know if we have the audio of it from the clip, but she is across the table.
Yeah.
And here it is.
All right, this...
Wait. I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck, Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
Mr. Bond, I suppose you wouldn't care to raise the limit?
I have no objections.
What was it, madame? Elegant, monsieur.
Now.
C'est suivi, monsieur.
Looks like you're out to get me.
It's an idea at that.
So, Sylvia Trench, you got to love the names that they gave these women.
Sylvia Trench, huge gaping gash.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're going with Trench and Pussy Galore and things
I'm
like
Pussy.
That.
Pussy, Harriet Pussy.
Countess Smelly Bunghole. Well, Miss Bunghole. Pussy Galore. And that's, that was, a lot of vagina.
The playoff of that. A lot of vagina.
But Sylvia Trench. Yeah. Perry Gash.
Perry Gash.
Slimy Bush.
Slimy.
Future Pooter.
Yeah. All right. Keep it going. I'm having fun.
Melisandre Double Fist.
East Infectantine.
Yeah. So.
Rest in peace.
What a lovely tribute to Eunice.
Chlamydia hysterectomy.
So, Steve, she was in. She was in From Russia with Love as well?
Yes. So he actually leaves her to go off on this mission, but the idea was to keep her sort of a continuing the way Moneypenny. It was sort of a flirtation to keep her in and out of his life, but they passed on that. But that's the first time in the Bond films where James Bond is introduced at the Baccarat table. I believe they're playing Baccarat. And it's great.
Did she know Steaming Butthole, too?
She knew Steaming Butthole was her sister.
All right. But anyhow, a post on her official Twitter feed read, an amazing lady.
Perhaps you know my sister, Queef Poop Splatter.
And my cousin, Purdy Turdcutter.
So the Twitter feed read, an amazing lady who left a lasting impression on everyone that she met.
Did you say Queef Poop Splatter?
She will be very much missed, they said.
You got to imagine, though, you know, so you're talking in the 60s, getting away with names like Pussy Galore.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when Bond responds to that, he says, you must be joking.
Mm-hmm. Key and Peele, creator Keegan-Michael Key, and his longtime partner, Lisa Pugliese, are married. They announced Friday
Pugliese,
on social media.
Pugliese.
Yeah. Best day ever, Key captioned a snapshot of them kissing. Pugliese wore a vintage-inspired bridal gown and strappy heels.
I love strappy heels. I'm wearing them right now.
And the groom donned a navy blue suit.
So do you know that he is playing one of the soldiers in the remake of Predator?
No.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
He's going full action.
Excellent.
Remake of Predator?
It's basic. Well, it's sort of a synthesis of the stories. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of remakes, this is kind of interesting, Steve. Matthew Vaughn of Marv Films is planning a reboot of his action comedy Kick-Ass series. In an interview with Empire Magazine, he hinted that single mom Patience Lee may be the next line to take center stage in the film version.
Don't reboot it, just continue it.
But he said, we're going to reboot Kick-Ass and Hit Girl, he said in an interview. I said, look what Mark Miller is doing with the comics for a clues.
Yeah.
For that.
I love Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass 2 was okay. It had its moments.
Yeah, I agree.
But the original Kick-Ass was so much fun.
Yep. A third Kingsman film titled Kingsman the Great Game is also set, Vaughn revealed. And this iteration will explore the spy organization in the early 1900s. I like that.
That's a cool idea.
I like them going back because as much as I love the first movie, the second one got, like, listen, the first one was already ridiculous.
You'd never seen it. You'd never seen
something
like that. The second one had a lot of the same enjoyment, but you'd been to that dance before.
And it went
a
little bit way overboard. But if they go back a little bit and do a little retro action on it, I think that could be a little more intriguing.
But to your point, you know, you say, wow, what do you mean it went way overboard? It has to be true to the context of what it's in. No matter how outlandish it is, you still have rules.
Right, exactly. And it was like Deadpool 2, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Right.
But on the first go, you didn't know what they were going to do. You didn't know how far they were going to take it. And they took it that far.
Right.
And that's a hard follow-up. For a second one, it's not shiny and new. It's enjoyable. But the first one was like, oh, my God.
Well, now you're looking for the punch. Yeah. You know, you're prepared.
Yep. And did you guys happen to see Teresa Giudice?
Yes, no. I sent you a few pictures.
Yeah, I saw them. I had them this morning.
Yeah.
Teresa Giudice, who is one of the Real Housewives
of New Jersey,
is bodybuilding now.
Oh, is she really?
And she got crazy ripped up, and I don't know what exactly which competition she was in.
It's like
she's of that. She's now. She's not over the top heavyweight.
No, she's more like a fitness model.
She's fitness, but you know, there's she's on that line. If she goes a little bit further beyond this, it gets to be like, whoa. Yeah.
Kathy, she could use some of your forehead.
No, because if you do that, then her eyes actually end up on the right. Her eyes are very widespread, but look at, I mean, her body's superb.
She's in unbelievable shape.
Her butt is awesome.
She started that in prison?
She lost a lot of weight in prison, and that got her on the path.
Maybe. Well, I mean, listen, you spent a lot of time out in the yard pumping weights.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe she did it.
with the brothers.
Exactly.
It was a co-ed prison, Preston.
So, whatever it is, this is kind of her new thing, I guess. So,
yeah.
I normally don't report on The Real Housewives, but I was like, seriously?
She looks good.
The pictures are definitely pretty intense.
Her husband is actually still in jail, yes?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
let's see. They traded off. Yep. Remember, they staggered it so they wouldn't. So one of them wouldn't be in prison for the kids.
Right.
Honestly, when you get sentenced, see if the judge will work out a deal so that you don't have to pay for daycare.
Yep. All right. And then one last thing. HBO has ordered a pilot for a Game of Thrones prequel from George R.R. Martin and Jane Goldman, one of the five Game of Thrones spinoffs currently in development.
What do you think about this?
I think it's fantastic. I'll take anything from that universe, man.
Right.
Absolutely. The untitled prequel will take place thousands of years before the events in the series near the end of the mythical age of heroes.
When they're just kids.
Because there's a whole, I have this World of Ice and Fire book that just, it goes way, way back. And it's, this universe is gigantic.
Is it?
It's absolutely huge.
So yes. Is this stuff that they're talking about, this is stuff that Martin himself has already written or written books about, or he just...
If not, he's approved it.
All right.
You know, and he's a part of it, so...
Doesn't he have another book to finish, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this was already done, from what I understand.
Oh, okay. So they're just going to make a TV show out of it.
I guess so.
Gotcha, okay.
And he's busy now because he's gotten into bodybuilding.
All right, let's do the clips. As the series Supergirl comes to a close, Supergirl herself, Melissa Benoist, will she be debuting a new role on Broadway this coming season? Here's a preview of her performance in Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Here we go.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face and my.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Damn good.
That's not bad. That sounds a lot like Carole King.
I'm a fan of Supergirl, and the series has actually gotten exponentially better from year to year. So
it's on tonight, 8 p.m. on the CW. Let's do the next clip. The fast-paced action comedy flick Tag features the true story of a group of friends out to play a childhood game with each other every year. And in this clip, intern Damara talks to John Hamm about the original group of tag playing friends. Here we go.
When all of us read this story, we thought that this is a real thing. Like this is so weird. But as I said before, it's like it's also so charming and kind of adorable that these guys are this silly, this late into their lives, and it's, you know, especially when it seems like everything else is going to hell in a handbasket. It's kind of nice to remember that all you have to do is really just have fun in your life, and it gets better.
Now, the movie opens on the 15th, and we have a screening of that tonight, by the way. And it will be at the Landmark Ritz 5, and I'll take 10 callers. It's at 7:30. You need to be there by 7. So 215-263-WMMR. We will put you on that list for the movie tonight. And you can catch more of Damara's interviews on PrestonandSteve.com before Tag premieres in theaters. So we'll be good to go. We'll take care of you.
I wonder how many more of these groups this movie will cause once people, you know, once word gets out about this. Because the original story incited people to start following suit. But now this movie's out. I could see this being fun if you had enough buddies to make this work over the course of years, which is what this is, a long-term game of tag around the world.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea to do something like that, and I hope more people do it. That's what I have for you in our little entertainment roundup this morning. We have on the program today, if you're a fan of The Sandlot, then Timmy Timmons will be here, the actor who played Victor DiMattia is going to be stopping in. He's in for Philly Beer Week, and Evil Genius Brewery actually has a beer called You're Killing Me Smalls, which is one of the reasons he's in town. So we'll talk to him. We also have a Not Your Average Listener, and we have an announcement that's coming up in about a half hour, 45 minutes or so that we're going to get to around the bizarre file. So let's take a quick break. Come back in just a moment. We'll get into all of it. Stay with us this morning, my friend.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or anti-social...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
So we are faced with some technical issues, and we're doing our best to get past those, but we have apparently fixed one of the problems we have, and that was being able to tally up all the votes over the course of the weekend for the coolest teacher of the year. And this is the very last one that we're going to do for 2018, and we appreciate everybody's participation. But I'm ready to announce who the coolest teacher of Delran High School is. Thanks for all the votes over the weekend. And we now can say with certainty that the coolest teacher of the year at Deland High School is Mr. Kevin Romanek. Congratulations. Or it might be Romanek. I said Romanek, R-O-M-A-N-I-K, Romanek maybe. But Mr. Romanek, or we'll just call him Kevin.
Yes.
Is a physics teacher.
Ooh.
And apparently he's very active in sports as well because he is the coach of the baseball, bowling, and soccer teams.
Wow.
That's taken on a lot, man.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you guys get the email from his brother or was that just sent to me?
I don't remember.
Okay. I got it over the weekend and he was hoping that his brother would win. But apparently... Kevin has done a lot of really cool things in his life. He's traveled the world. He's been to France, Scotland, Peru, and Ecuador. He was in an avalanche. He climbed a glacier in Peru. And so he's done some amazing things. And
what a renaissance man.
Yeah, and he's been listening to the show since the Y100 days. He's been listening since 2000.
Why?
So he's a big fan of the President Steve program. And so congrats to Kevin, and thanks for that nice note, Brian.
Dude was in an avalanche?
Yeah, he was skiing in Vermont.
The vehicle, huh?
Clearly, we are going to have to talk to him. All right, so that means we are going to set the gentleman up with a Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug.
That's very cool.
And Steve style. So a little nod to you, Kevin, and we'll also give you a $25 gift card from our friends at Rita's Water Ice, the sponsor of Coolest Teacher, and we'll give you $50 also from our friends at Gottschall's Turkey Bacon, and we'll throw in some turkey bacon as well. So congrats, and we would love to hear from you this morning when you get a chance, sir.
Oh, and he's single, by the way. And
so, ooh, yeah. Ladies.
How old?
All right. I don't know how old. Maybe we'll find out a little bit later on, but we're going to move on to something else. Kathy just had the traffic report. Schuylkill Expressway, westbound, shut down. I sent Casey and Kathy.
East.
I'm sorry. Eastbound. Oh, eastbound. Yeah, I'm sorry. Eastbound. Did I send you? Did I say westbound?
No, you said east in your
in my text.
I don't know.
No, you didn't. You said west, but it was okay. We figured it out.
All right. Anyhow, from the Blue Route,
way to sabotage him.
To Belmont, and that is a huge section of road, and that was because of not only flooding, but a few accidents along the way too.
Well, because people were driving through the floods and then getting stuck, and another car hit one of the cars that was stuck in the flood, and there was a couple of things like that.
Yep.
We were actually looking at footage this morning, Preston. It looked like an actual full-blown canal.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 feet of water at some points. And obviously it's because these storm drains get clogged up.
They just can't take all that water.
Yeah, it happened to me one morning on the way in to work here.
I remember this.
I called you, Steve.
Yes.
So I got off at Belmont off of Schuylkill eastbound.
Yep.
And I'm going through, you guys know where that... the gas station is right there.
Sunoco Station, right?
The Sunoco Station. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm pulling, and there's water in the road. And I'm like, well, I have to go that way.
Yeah.
So I started going through the water, and like many people who have had this happen before, it's deeper than you realize it is.
Oh, no.
And I pull up, and all of a sudden, my car starts going, and then shuts off.
That's it?
Yeah. Yes.
Shuts off, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm that person.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of I think I was in the middle of the intersection, and I'm now stuck. And so I didn't know what to do. I open up the door, and it's all the way up to
coming into the car.
It was just about to come into the car.
Oh, man.
And so I call Steve, and I'm like, dude, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. My car's in the middle of the road.
Help me.
And he's like, where are you? And we're talking. And in the course of time, because I tried to restart the car, and it wouldn't start, in the course of time that we were speaking, I opened up the door again, and I looked down, and it had drained off.
Oh, really?
It was that quickly.
It was bizarrely miraculous. It drained off. And then I started the car, and that was it.
But in your mind, you're thinking, all right, first off, my car is shot. I'm going to have to get rescued out of here. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, what was ever blocking whatever drainage was there, maybe the water pushed it across it and opened it up because it drained quickly.
But I was also thinking, Steve, I'm going to get swept away.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well, because that happens.
It does happen.
And
absolutely.
You know what? But that spot.
A popular DJ was found floating in the Delaware River this morning. Beautiful feet.
That spot at the bottom of Belmont, I mean, that is the lowest point at the bottom of Belmont, and then even coming out of Manayunk. But that doesn't really flood all that much anymore. I don't know what they did down there, but remember, there was a stretch of time where it was flooding every time it rained. Yeah. So I don't know if they you know, added some drains or cleaned it out or whatever they did, but it doesn't flood as much.
Back in 93, I hit one of those. And by the way, when you're driving full speed into one of those things,
scares the F out of you.
It's like running into a wall. And yeah. I had no idea. I was at the intersection of, it was Lindbergh Boulevard and whatever that road that is that goes through Fallcroft. But I hit it going 35 miles per hour. I felt like I just ran into a wall. And then about 100 yards later, my car seized. Didn't have cell phones at that point. I had to go knock up on somebody's house. And luckily, they let me use their phone.
You mind if I use your phone?
Because I was working for my dad, I had to call my dad and say, hey, my car just broke down, blah, blah, blah. And then in the course of that phone call, I got back in my car and it started back up again.
Now, so did you... You didn't slow down because you didn't think it was very deep.
I had no idea. No.
And so that was the thing. Yeah, like when I'm like, I just thought it was a puddle. You can't tell.
You cannot tell, especially when it's dark or dusk or, you know, listen, in the broad daylight, you can sort of see it, but still you can make that mistake. But, you know, the pavement underneath is black. The water's transparent, obviously, and it hides the depth of it.
Yeah.
Hey, on this Google this morning, eastbound in between the Blue Route and Belmont, did they have to turn people around?
They were. That's what Kathy was saying.
Right? Yeah, okay, I think they turned some big trucks around and then some of the cars that were stuck. But I don't know that they turned everyone that was stuck around.
Did they open up that temporary gate, that temporary median?
Do they have one?
Yes, they do. In fact, I remember, Nick, when they talked about this is going to ease those issues.
That's what
I've never seen them use.
Me neither. And that was what the intent was. And so I don't know. But
I think traffic would have had to have been stopped on the opposite side for them to do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Is that what you're saying? The median in the middle of the road to have them?
There's a temporary median in the middle of the road that's not a cement or concrete barrier. It's made of metal, and it's between the Blue Route and Belmont.
So what do they do? Do they close down one lane of traffic in the westbound lane?
Yeah. I would guess, right?
They would have to.
Because turning your truck around anywhere is not easy, and to do it in the middle of the Schuylkill has got to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, Case, they would shut down the other direction and then allow all those cars come and get on. And then once they're gone, then they can just open it wide up. So I've been on a highway where they've had to shut it down. I came upon a car accident and there was oil on the road.
Ooh.
And they made everybody turn around. And the bitch of it was when I pulled up, I was the first car they stopped.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I see it's right there. Which means I was the last one to go the other. And I had to piss so bad. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
You should just gotten out like a magician in front of everyone. Raise your arms, unzip, and then just piss.
Yeah.
But along the Schuylkill, and you've seen them over the years doing these drain setups and all this stuff, still with all that, it floods like it's flooding this morning because you basically have the water port cascading down the hill in all these areas, and you have a track, a receptacle at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pool, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why it always floods so horrifically.
Well, so much debris.
We got flash flood warnings. I was driving down the shore on Saturday, and it came up on my phone, and I was, you know, and my son saw it, and then he started getting, like, scared.
Really?
As if, like, we were just going to get washed away while I was driving on 55.
Was it because you were crying?
No, I was not crying. I yawned, and I just...
I love you, son.
I was like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. We're not going to get washed away in any sort of floods or anything.
I tell you what, though, there comes a moment with anyone who's been in an experience like this where you're like, okay, and then there comes that, you almost hear like a bell when you realize, oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I'm in too far now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it happens on snow. For me, it happened one time in a muddy field. So I have directions, and the directions are along a rural road, and it's turn into the driveway. Uh-huh. Everything's unmarked, but I see actually the base of a functional driveway. And I go up and past the tree line as I make a left into what I perceive or assume is going to be a warm, welcoming house full of people just waiting to see me. It's an empty, muddy field.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, do I back up or can I just turn around? And I called the texture of the mud and dirt so wrong.
Oh, no.
The second I pulled into it, Preston, all four tires,
the
mud up to your, like, to your doorway, as you said in the car.
Yeah.
I was locked.
Yeah.
I had to, like, walk back into town,
get a tow truck to try to pull me out with a chain. Fortunately, I had a boat hitch on the back of the car, which was my, you know, but Jesus Christ.
Dude, you know where they mess that up all the time is like county and town fairs and things like that.
Oh, okay. My God.
And yeah, we'll use the field. Everybody just park in the field.
Yeah, until it rains.
F your field.
And it rains like the day before. Yeah. And we're still going with plan A. Park in the field.
Yeah.
And everybody gets stuck. Happens all the time.
When Phish had a campout concert in Coventry, Vermont, they got a ton of rain leading up to that. And this is at a farm. And the last concert before that concert was in Camden, and they were making an announcement at the end of that concert. Guys, if you're planning on going to Coventry, don't go right now.
Right.
You need to wait a day because they had truckloads of wood chips that they were driving up there. Well, that was our plans. Our plans were to leave that concert and go up there. We got up there, and it was miles and miles and miles of backups because they just couldn't accommodate the, you know, tens of thousands of people that were going up there.
At least you have a warning, though. You know, like, but I know what you're saying.
People walked for 10 miles to get to this concert. Other people just turned around and drove home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warning or not, it was a total cluster F.
This text that just came in said, thanks to the flooding, going eastbound into the city is like no problem because no cars are even.
What a day to go to work.
Yeah, they said.
They've locked out the burbs.
From City Ave to the Vine is like no problem.
In fact, there was a decent amount of it last night. Somebody says last night 95 was flooded right near Bridge Street.
Yeah, they had that shut down. They reopened it this morning.
They said it was like a log flume, and at the bottom of Cottman Avenue exit going northbound was flooded. And people had to turn around and come back on a 95 from the exit ramp. It was crazy. When did 95 start flooding, they said?
Yeah.
There were tons, like the flooding warnings that came out yesterday. I was getting them all day long. And I was just, you know, when you get those, you're like, okay, but not realizing.
It's Sunday. Who cares?
Yeah, it's going to be this bad for your morning commute.
About 5 or 6 years ago in my area to get to the Northeast Extension, when it would rain like this, it would be a serious consideration as to whether I could make it to work or not. They fixed it. I mean, they had to completely redo all the streets, but they fixed it eventually, but it was getting that bad.
What about this? And it's happened over the course of my years here where, okay, we're going to fix it. And they fix that, and it causes
something else.
The other thing to now be 10 times worse.
Yeah.
You know, so the flooding and stuff is just crazy.
Marissa, you got caught up in one not that long ago, right?
Yeah, we were heading to a meeting. It was right after the show. We were going to Xfinity Live. I took West River Drive, and it was one of those flash floods where it was like right past the Falls Bridge heading to the city.
It's a nightmare.
Yep, the car in front of me was going slow, and I felt like the car in front of me was going too slow, and I had a really low-sitting car, and if I just been able to go a little faster, I would have gotten through, but I just got stuck in the middle of the puddle.
Man.
But by this, and my car just ceased. It was done. That's when like my engine cracked. It was really, really bad. But by the time anyone had arrived, all of the water had dissipated and it was gone. Yeah. So I was just a broke down.
So they thought
car.
You were crazy.
No, there was a ton of water here. So what's the methodology to anyone in the know? When you're in a puddle and you're passing through, is it better to just gun it? When you're past the point of no return,
you're supposed to not go through it the first place.
But I'm saying, like, you're already in it. You've screwed up.
Yeah.
You're past the point of no return.
What do you do?
You got to keep going, I think.
Is it me, though? Or
I don't. I feel like I just needed to go a little faster. I would have
a little faster. That's what I was saying. I thought maybe that would have been the displacement and the velocity and the angle of the dangle or whatever.
I'm wondering if anybody listening has ever been in that situation and all of a sudden they realize, oh my God, I'm floating. You know what I mean? Because it does happen. You see video of it.
Is it me or I love when you go through a puddle and it goes and you get that big wall of...
You're such a kid.
I love it.
Do you know what? It's you.
Yeah, is it?
No. It's a little scary.
On the expressway, heading eastbound into the city, there have been a number of occasions where cars coming westbound have put up an essential tidal wave of water.
Yeah.
And it hits your car, and you think the windshield's going to crack.
Well, yes. I mean, it's and you
that
can't see.
Hard.
No matter how good or how fast your windshield wipers are going, you can't see.
But I mean, it hits that initial impact is the force of it feels like you hit a deer or something like that.
A water deer.
It's nuts, man, and it's definitely scary. Hang on, Jake who is a mechanic, has some advice. Hey, Jake, how you doing?
Hey, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right. What's your suggestion?
So if you see, like, standing water or puddle like that, just turn around. Don't even try and go through it because, like, your air intake is, what happens is that sits low on the car, and you can suck water into that, yeah, and it will hydrolock the motor.
All right, Jake, let me ask you. So you're past the point of no return. You've made a screw-up, and you're in water, and there are cars behind you. Is it better to move along slowly or
go slow? Yeah, go slow.
All right.
You're going to do but there's other damage that you're going to do. If you get the floor wet, you get the wire harnesses can get corroded and stuff like that. So
okay,
just avoid water.
What's the worst car in the water?
Anything that sits low.
Anything that sits low. All right. Yeah,
I would imagine.
That's right. Those what do they call them? Penny farthings or what are the
penny farthing? The bicycle with the giant tire.
They're great in the water.
Maybe. No, what you need is like, you know, the Jeeps that have a snorkel.
Yes.
So you can go all the way up.
Have you ever seen Dante's Peak, the movie about the volcano that explodes? Uh-uh. They try to drive across a river, and they're in one of those vehicles with the snorkel.
Yeah.
And the tires start to lift off as it's floating.
Oh,
and
my God.
Because they're going to go down river, you know, but then they grab eventually and get out of the river.
We went to a resort a couple of years ago that had a backwoods, you know, Jeep experience.
Yeah.
And they have they had snorkels on their Jeeps, cool. And you go down into these water
holes. It's cool.
Dude, it comes up to
Does it?
The window.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Do you remember when we were on River Road in Conchi? And there was that car that was driving down the river.
I do.
What? I mean, it looked like a 57 Chevy. I'm like,
Preston, it was a modded car. We'd see it all the time. Someone had taken a car and modded it to make it like an amphibious vehicle, but it looked like an old like a 57 Chevy case, right?
It's a car and a boat.
And it was blue. It had my blue.
Yeah. I remember that.
You would see it.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. We'd see it a couple of times.
God. I wish I remember that. All right. Let me go to... Okay. I'm going to go to Chrissy here. Hey, Chrissy, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Chrissy?
Hi. I was calling in about the storm stuff going on here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Me and my husband went down to Ocean City, Maryland in summer of 16. And the island's only like four blocks wide. And there was a storm coming, but they were like, oh, let's go Pokemon hunting for our kids, him and his brother. And they went out, and a water spout came right next to the island and caused the whole area to flood.
So that's a tornado in the water, okay? Yeah. All right.
And there was about 4 feet of water, and he was in a little Chevy Malibu.
Oh, no.
But it's good, though. He was risking his life for Pokemon hunting.
Hey, listen, you got to get those rare parts.
Oh, my God. Did you guys end up getting stuck?
Yeah, it was his parents' car that he took because it was a family vacation. He had taken it.
Yeah,
jeez. It got water damage. All the stereos were broken. The car ended up starting again, which was good, but
once
he risked his life.
I think at that level, when water comes up and touches the floorboards and comes in and seeps through the car, isn't the car technically, by insurance reckoning, totaled at that point, right?
Totaled? I don't know.
Yeah.
But water damage, I would guess. Let me go to Bill. He's a mechanic. Maybe he can answer that for you, Steve. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. Listen, when it comes to people driving through water,
yep,
you got to notice that the exhaust pipes is where everything comes back out of the engine.
Yep.
Your fumes, everything. So when water comes on top, you know, goes over top of the tailpipe, what it does is it stops it from breathing.
Okay.
You know, the engine from breathing.
Yeah.
So it'll shut your car down.
Yep.
And when you were talking about, is it damage when the water rises in there? Yeah, they call that flood damage.
Flood damage. Okay.
Okay. So, when you're going through the water and the pipe is being blocked, how long do you have usually in most cars before the engine will seize up?
Well, not seize up. It'll just shut off.
Just shut off.
Yeah, but you remember that guy.
How long do you have about?
Oh, my God. Maybe 5 to 10 seconds because once it's not able to push that combustion out,
yeah,
you know.
Then I'd gun it.
It just shuts off. Listen, when we were kids, we used to stick wet potatoes potatoes in someone's tailpipe.
Yeah.
And they could never get their car running.
Oh, you used to stick a banana in the tailpipe.
Bananas worked too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but potatoes were phenomenal.
All right.
Well, Do you remember that guy?
It was really hard to get out.
Thanks, Bill.
I forget the name of the show, but it was basically Redneck Jersey Shore in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those guys were mud bogging.
And they died.
And they died because the tailpipe got stuck, I guess, under...
It was mud. Mud got stuck in it, and they were running the car with the windows up.
Yeah, closed, and carbon monoxide got in, mm-hmm. and they suffocated, yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful. And in fact, there was, you know what, this is a off-topic, but motor vehicle-oriented anyhow. I saw a report that some people have died in recent years because of the... they've forgotten to turn off their car... when they come in and park it in the garage because of the key fob.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
And they've left it on, and it's caused people have died from that.
Because it's running quietly.
Yeah.
They pull into the garage. They're distracted. They get out, mm-hmm. and they don't shut it off.
Yeah. Oof. Let me see here. I have a few other calls. I'm going to go to Otto. Otto, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. What's up, Otto?
Before they fixed the 9th Street Bridge in Ocean City, New Jersey, it made the front page of the Sentinel Ledger. A guy had gotten stuck in the puddle right at the bottom of the bridge. And right as he opened the door, a dump truck was coming the opposite way and just flooded the guy's car. And they had the picture clearly shows the driver of the dump truck's face. And he had such a grin on his face.
Oh, what a prick.
What a douchebag.
He's like, was that driver you by any chance?
No.
Yeah, I had a similar thing happen, Preston. So during a slushy, crappy blizzard, I'm driving on the Long Island Expressway. I get a flat. Lucky me. So the first, you know, I open up the door. I pull all the way over. So I'm going to change the tire. But it's slushy mess. I open up the door. This 18-wheel sucker comes barrel-assing by. And if you had, like, you know, when they spray the cement into the bottom of a pool, a built-in pool,
yeah.
You know, that spray went into the car.
Oh, my God. I mean,
it was just all – I changed the tire and had to shovel out the interior of my car, basically.
You ever hit a puddle on purpose when somebody's standing right by it?
No.
Drench them with it?
Have you?
I have not. I have had
I've had it happen.
The opportunity and seen it and just gone, I can't.
The guy's in a wheelchair. I can't do this.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm like, clearly somebody's standing right there. Huge puddle. I'm like, oh, man.
You have to.
No, you don't.
You owe it to yourself.
No, you
don't. Yes, you do.
I was like, there's no way I could do this, man. I've had it a couple of times. I'm like, I don't know who that person is. I don't know what kind of day they've had. But, man, are they – oh, they're just in the most prime spot.
It's the worst.
It is the worst.
It's the worst.
Absolutely.
I've done the opposite. I've pulled over and picked strangers up that are standing there in the –
where are you going?
In the pouring rain. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, problems on the Schuylkill Expressway. Is it still closed, by the way, Kathy?
It is still closed. I looked at some video, PennDOT video of it, and it looks like there's just a small portion that remains blocked with the flood, with the water. So I guess they're just waiting for that to go down, and then they should be able to at least open up one lane soon. That's what it looks like from the camera.
Okay. Look at outside now, though. I mean, it looks... rain-wise, do we know what the rest of the day is shaping up?
It's supposed to not rain all day. Yeah,
it's supposed to clear up, they said, after the morning rush, and it's actually supposed to be nice, like in the 70s.
Yeah. All right.
But Schuylkill Expressway eastbound from the Blue Route to Belmont was closed. I don't know if there are parts of it that have opened up more than that or not, but anyhow, keep that in mind as you're making your morning commute. Hey, how about this? We got a screening tonight, The Incredibles 2. And that will be at the UA King of Prussia at 7 o'clock. You need to be there no later than 6:30. Want to go? Let's take five callers and put you on our list. 215-263-WMMR. You know, it's funny. My daughter put this into perspective. She's been waiting to see this movie her entire life.
Wow.
And that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's been that long. 215-263-WMMR. Let's get you on board. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. And we have an announcement when we get back. Along with the Bizarre File. Don't miss it. Hey, gang, it's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, Saturday, June 16th.
We're headed back to the Valley Forge Casino Resort Event Center.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months. So make an appointment now at WMMR.com. On-site kids activities with Painted Treasure and Aim High Studio, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
As a token of our appreciation for your precious blood, you'll get the newest, freshest collectible Preston and Steve T-shirt and this year's new pint glass from Window Nation.
And hundreds of donors will be randomly selected to get free tickets to a great summer concert.
Like one of these at BB&T Pavilion, Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie on August 9th, or Godsmack and Shinedown August 26th.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 13th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region, Valley Forge Casino Resort,
and 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first.
Hey, congrats to Mr. Kevin Romanek from Delran High School in Delran, New Jersey. He was the one that won the coolest teacher of the year.
Apparently, he's Superman.
And, there was the final one that we're doing for 2018. This guy's got crazy stories. He apparently survived an avalanche.
Yes.
We have to hear about that.
Or caused one.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you never
don't
know. But anyhow, it's a physics teacher, and we congratulate him, and we'd like to hear from him. And thanks to all those teachers who are right at the very, very end of it. We actually have our moving up ceremony for my daughter today, her last day at Oak Ridge Elementary. We've been at that school for 12 years. Yes.
You're as much a part of that school now, all your kids going through.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So now the moving up, are they going to the east side?
Yeah, yeah. There's a deluxe apartment
in the sky,
in the sky that they're going to move
into.
That's
awesome. That's great.
Yeah. No, but I will be a
blubbering wreck,
a blubbering mess.
I hear you. So.
You know, it's wild. I remember hearing my cousin talk about with the Catholic grade schools being so involved for years and years and years, and then when their last one graduated eighth grade,
yeah,
it was like, I don't belong here anymore.
It's an end of an era.
And yeah,
yeah.
And so for as involved as you and especially your wife have been in that school, after today,
we'll find a way.
You're out!
I know. We'll end up back in that building from time to time, I would imagine, for certain things. But
for grandkids, Preston.
Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord.
So what do they do? At a certain point, will all of the faculty turn their backs on you and the parents are expected to walk out now?
I don't think so.
Leave now.
But it's an emotional time of year for a lot of people.
Yeah, of course.
So good luck to you if that is your case. All right, let's do the bizarre file, and then we have an announcement to make.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows, upgrade your home. With Anderson Windows, admoyer.com. Well, a couple was arrested after beating each other in the parking lot of Dollar General.
Yep. Tensions always flare at Dollar General, Preston.
Well, and these two were fighting over booze.
Dollar booze?
Yeah, sheriff's deputies arrived at the Dollar General in reference to a disturbance there. He found a man and a woman who said they had been dating for about 6 months.
About 6 months, the old lady always giving me crap.
They both admitted to drinking before the incident and were on their way to purchase more alcohol. The woman told the deputy that she was battered by the man but wouldn't admit to battering him. The man said she actually battered him and shoved dirt in his mouth.
Dirt?
But didn't admit to battering her. The man had bruises on his hip, back, and forehead. He also had stitches on his nose.
And I got dirt in my mouth.
From a previous unreported fight with the woman. The woman had bruises on her body that appeared to be old, by the way.
Hearing this story makes me think of Jack and Rose from Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Right?
Yeah.
Just
a love affair of the ages, yes.
Two witnesses called to report the fight, one saying the man was hitting the woman, the other one saying the woman was hitting the man. So they were both arrested for battery. Thousands of Irish women shed their inhibitions and their clothes on a secluded beach 50 kilometers south of Dublin on Saturday for a world record setting skinny dip to raise funds for a children's cancer charity. Lucia Singagalisi, the Guinness World Records official that adjudicated the naked swim, said that 2,505 women spent at least 5 minutes in the sea to set a new world record.
All right, ladies, time to get our pasty white skin freckles and overly sized bushy pubes into the ocean.
The previous record was set in Western Australia in 2015 when 786 participants swam naked to promote a positive body image. On Saturday, the sea temperature where the Irish swim was held was bracing. It says 12 degrees at Celsius. So you double that and add 32, right?
Yeah, it was warm enough.
Oh, my God. It was in the 50s? Yeah. Are you kidding me? Or no, it would have been maybe the 60s, but that's still... That's no, really...
Like 56, 57.
The water would have been 120 degrees.
That is freezing cold water. Swim has been an annual event, by the way, ever since it was started by Dee Featherstone in 2013. Just weeks after her own mastectomy, the events have raised more than 150,000 euros, not including what will be relayed this year.
Oh, that's a chunk of change. It's awesome.
Deirdre Betson, who is from Dunboyne, said, "Oh, my God, it was amazing."
So just to be there with my sisters, trying not to look at each other's vaginas.
She said, "I've never been naked in front of anybody before except my husband, and it was brilliant and bracing. It was great crack," she said.
Great crack. Tons of crack all over the place. Little tiny cracks going vertically.
Yeah. Some front crack, others, back crack. Crack, yeah.
Knick-knack, paddywhack, everybody's got a crack.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you, thank you.
Bravo.
I write poetry.
A woman who has celebrating turning 103 years old, a British woman, by the way, says that she is still on the lookout for a toy boy and cannot wait for her next game of bingo. Doris Harkness spent her big day yesterday with friends and staff members at Castle Park Nursing Home. Mrs. Harkness, who started to work at the age of 14 and did not retire until she turned 84, is still full of life and regularly entertains people with her singing at the home. She said, "I'm 103 and I've had a great life. I'm very proud to have reached this age, but I'm still only 103. I'm a spring chicken and I'm
a toy boy.
I'm still on the lookout for a toy boy," she says.
"And it wouldn't hurt if when I pooped, I didn't scream in agony."
She said, while looking in the direction of another resident, she said, "There's one over there somewhere."
103, huh?
Yeah, the twice married widow said that she could not have wished for a better day. She said, "We've all had a lot of fun. I love staying here. I couldn't imagine manage on my own anymore. But this is a really nice place, and all the staff work very hard and really appreciate." So
compare that to the story. You saw that story floating around, President, that Russian or that woman who's lived to supposedly 120, 121.
No way.
Basically said, "My life has been unrelenting misery."
Oh, really?
Yeah, this one's having a better time.
It sounds like she is, yeah. So she originally worked making corsets back in the day. A Florida man had to be separated.
Florida man.
Had to be separated from his capuchin monkey after he was arrested for reportedly driving a stolen vehicle into a ditch while on vacation.
This is the most bizarre footage you're going to see.
This is in Holiday, Florida. The monkey, named Monk, is seen clinging to the shirt of Cody Blake Hessen, who was arrested for auto theft. Monk was wearing a diaper, by the way.
Of course.
Hessen did not have a permit for the animal and could face additional charges because of that.
The monkey's very cute. The owner's stupid.
Yes. So they didn't expect the capuchin monkey that he had with him. The Florida Wildlife Commission...
He likes to drink a lot.
...took possession of the monkey and transported it to the primate sanctuary.
I've talked to him, but there's... something else. There's an issue there that he just won't deal with.
As Hessen didn't have a permit for the animal. In the video, Hessen and Monk share a goodbye hug before the animal was confiscated.
I just gotta get out of goddamn Florida.
All right, and then one more story, and then we'll wrap it up. And this one I really don't understand, but I'm going to go with it.
It's fine.
A 70-year-old sign outside of the Old Chief Seattle Motel is getting all new attention. The motel has since been converted into apartments, but instead of advertising vacancies, it now reads on the on the marquee, "Three cheers for heroin." Pete, a repairman for the property, told a news station he's now considering taking the sign down after it was struck Wednesday morning and hit by a hit-and-run driver.
Who was probably on heroin.
He said, people are sad to see the sign destroyed, but they say three cheers for heroin up there is an attempt to poke fun at the situation.
And that situation being?
I don't know. The property owner said that he doesn't know for a fact if it was heroin that led to the accident, but he says the new slogan was a primal reaction and now hopes his insurance will be able to help cover the sign and once again light up the street. So I don't I don't get it. But anyhow,
maybe is he a very zealous heroin user?
Maybe it's that.
Yeah, I just enjoy it, and I think it's getting a bad rap.
Might be pro heroin for all I know. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. All right, so why don't we? Do you want to go to our coolest teacher? Or you want to do our announcement first? What do you think?
You tell me.
Let's do coolest teacher and then announcement.
All right, we'll do that first. We announced earlier this morning the final winner in our series of coolest teacher of the year. And Delran High School is the school that was chosen, and they came back and they awarded this gentleman. Please welcome Kevin Romanek to the show.
Yeah!
Or is it Romanek? Could you please tell me?
Yeah, it's Kevin Romanek.
Romanek! Like the ramen noodle.
Wrong all the way around.
Yeah. Preston, Steve, you guys rock.
Thank you, man.
Congratulations. We've heard a few things about you. You're a physics teacher. You coach soccer, bowling, and baseball. And you survived an avalanche.
Yeah, well.
Well, let's lead with the bowling team thing.
Yeah. No. What's your average?
No, we got to hear about the avalanche story.
Which one? The avalanche story? All right. So there's probably, I guess there's two that you guys are referencing. One, I guess I survived it like directly. That was me skiing out west. And now with my cousin and I guess the conditions were pretty bad.
Yes.
I didn't know. I was, we were in bounds and everything. And all of a sudden, we decided to go to this one spot, way up high on the mountain. Couldn't see much. And all of a sudden, the whole slab I was on just let loose. And I'm on top of it, not really skiing, going wherever the stuff was taking me. And then I would say the thing only lasted probably 10 seconds, but it felt like 10 minutes to me. I thought it was going to be a statistic.
So you're on a slab that's disconnected, skiing on it while it's moving. And starts to break apart, the thing with avalanches is that when the snow finally stops, it becomes like cement. What was your situation? Were you in it?
Yeah, I was. Well, I was on top of it. It was like almost like an ice sheet on top, and I could feel everything beneath me let loose. And I wasn't actually skiing on it, but I was going down the mountain, almost like surfing on top.
Wow. That's lucky for you. Yeah.
So I was thinking, all right, just try to stay on top. Stay on your skis, don't fall. And I immediately fell.
Yeah.
Of course, and tried to kind of roll out of it. And next thing you know, I was out of it. And then, it was pretty freaky.
Wow. That's a hell of a story, man. So,
And that was only one of two?
Well, the other one, they might have. See, that one was pretty. So I don't know how big that one actually was, but it was definitely let loose. And that was pretty terrifying for, like I said, certainly probably 3-4 seconds, but it felt like 30 seconds to me. The other one, could have been referencing was when I was climbing. I do some mountain climbing during the summer. So I was out in France on Mont Blanc. And
is it a huge pen? No, a huge pen. I'm just kidding, but go ahead.
We're climbing, and we didn't make because the weather got really bad.
Huh.
And a couple of days later, the same route, the same trip, 10 climbers were killed doing the same thing I was doing. So fortunately, I was, a week early there. So
Wow. You're an adventurous lot. And do you think that this is was one of the reasons why you're voted coolest teacher? You certainly have the credentials.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I tried to work hard in class and make it physics interesting for them. Hopefully, that's fun. They also, this could have had a little influence. They voted me the winner of the talent show this year, the faculty talent show.
What'd you do?
The quote-unquote winner of the talent show.
What was your talent?
So I kind of did two, but the one that I won was me and my other buddy here. We did a big ribbon dance, rhythmic gymnastics. And
awesome.
Guitar and the ribbon. It was pretty funny, I guess, I think.
Kevin, your brother Brian sent me a YouTube video, and I'll share it with everybody here on the show because it is pretty wonderful. Awesome. He also says that you're an excellent polka dancer and that you're single.
Yes, that is true in both cases. Excellent polka dancer. I don't know about excellent, but
I know. Yeah, he says. He says you know how to polka. I inserted the excellent.
Polka dancer.
Yes, we grew up. So my dad is in a polka band, and we grew up around the music. And we would go down the shore to the big polka fest, similar to that Netflix movie that was on there.
Okay,
We were around there, so it was pretty wild.
And you're single? Oh my god!
Not married.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, I thought with all that polka dancing.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah, yeah, right? All right, well, listen.
Try PokerMatch.com.
Congratulations to you. It sounds like it's been a very cool school year with the win of the talent competition and now this.
Yeah, the kids are excellent here. So, I mean, it's pretty wild. It's a nice honor.
Well, good for you, man. So we're going to give you the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. And our sponsor, Rita's, gives you a $25 gift card. And we're also going to give you $50 from our friends at Godshall's Turkey Bacon, too, just as a thank you. And it's to all the teachers.
Yes.
We give it to everybody if we could.
You. Thanks for everything you guys do, too. Appreciate it. It's
all right. Great. You got it, man. Mr. Romanek, Kevin
Romanek.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Coolest teacher there. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information. Delran High School. So I love it. All right. He's the last one. We'll do it again next year, friends. Get yourself set for that. But in the meantime, Casey, I'm going to need a drum roll because we are making an announcement. Excited to say the least for this. It's been 5 years in the making.
Yes.
Grudge Match. It's time to do it again.
It's been the source of contention. And now we revisit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the official return of Bucksco versus Delco! Yeah! We have a jingle this year. Bucksco versus Delco. Thank you to Kyle for putting that together for us. And so we are going to give you the official date of when it is taking place. And it will be a work week. It'll be a Monday through Friday event, June 25th through the 29th. So 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
We go back at it again. These two warriors from two warring counties are going to face off against each other in a competition that will bring it to the forefront once again. Now, of course, Kathy won the whole thing in September of 2013.
It was down to the wire.
It was.
When the winner was decided.
Yep. It was like the double Jeopardy question.
Yes, yep. It was crazy. And
final Jeopardy question.
They have now, they have both been in absolute secrecy. We have not portrayed anything about any of the competitions you'll be facing.
Kathy and I have had a couple of discussions about, like, what do you think they're going to do?
What do you think they're going to do?
Well,
I'll tell you what,
there are similar things, but Preston has had a few ideas about ways he wants to go that I think are going to be better at establishing clearly, because there was, I should have won, I should have, back and forth, the complaining has gone on. I think we'll have a definitive... Yeah.
Why would Kathy complain? She won. No, only losers complain. Yeah. And I'll tell you what. I looking at the video from the last one, I put on a little weight since the last one. Just a couple of pounds.
You were very thin. I think that was you at your thinnest, probably, Casey.
AIDS.
That's when you were sick.
But leading up until just a couple of weeks ago, I was dreading this because... Not only did I lose that, but I had lost everything to Kathy, and she was in my head. And then finally, at Keenan's on Memorial Day weekend, I beat her in something.
Yeah, you're right.
Finally. So,
do you think this is a harbinger of things to come?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right. We'll see. But really... I mean, that only evens things up.
Because Kathy had a pseudo victory with Philly's Hottest Delco versus Bucksco.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that, because we had a girl from Bucks County win that.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was a pseudo victory.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then you had the Keenans facing off against each other in the crowd karaoke. Casey won that.
Yeah. She beat me in the thing at the Camp Out for Hunger with the shooting the tennis balls into the, into the bucket.
Really?
Yeah.
You did.
That was fun.
Yeah. All right. So we're going back at it, and similar format to last time. It's going to be a Monday through Friday, and we're going to have each day we're going to have a new contest or a game or a stunt or something that takes place, and we'll pit these two against each other once
again.
It'll
be fun.
And we've literally been kicking them out of meetings lately.
You're asking us questions, and I'm like, what? Do they need to know that?
Well, the one thing we wanted to make sure of is that we wanted to make sure the questions or things that were trivia based or whatever, these questions were vetted and that we had things that would actually be fair to both of you. And we think we've done it right this time.
And a lot of it is going to be, stuff pertaining to your respective counties. And then some of it's just going to be you guys battling against each other and who's better.
Right.
So
a boxing match.
It may not, yeah, it may not all 100% be just about Delaware County and Bucks County, but it's going to be you guys against each other. Okay?
Okay.
We all good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
I'll tell you what, I have less wrinkles. I had much less wrinkles in 2013 as I look at the video.
So go watch the Daily Rush video, Delco versus Bucksco, which, by the way, we renamed Bucksco versus Delco, even though the jingle said Delco versus Bucksco, well, because Kathy gets first billing. She won.
Winner win. Yeah, that's the way the title goes.
So that is going to be June 25th through the 29th. You need to, you should get your photos together now, showing your support, whoever it is you want to in this particular contest. We want to see signs and shirts and whatever you can, and show your county pride as you get ready to root for your competitor.
You know, Casey was just given an honor by Delco. All right, you were there. The legal?
Yeah, I was given the Liberty Bell Award.
The Liberty Bell Award. There you go. So you've all made massive inroads for your various areas, and now it's time to re-meet on the field of competition.
Nick, do you see that second text? It says Adele Wave is coming. Wave is coming. All right, so there you go. Get yourself set for it. We're going to take a break. We will come back in a moment. And what do you need, Case?
Well, I was going to play this again. Who will win? Who will
be defeated? It's Bucksco versus Delco.
It's a great jingle. No one can know. Only
one will claim the victory. 25th to 29th, set your calendar. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, you know what I just thought of? And we didn't alert our programming staff or sales staff that we were
doing this.
That we were going to be doing this. There ought to be sponsors for this thing. There should be a really.
We brought it to we brought it in the promotions meeting. We brought it to their attention. Yeah.
There should be a Bucks County establishment and a Delaware County establishment, both sponsoring this event.
Like Halfway Houses of America for Bucks County,
right? Or like the mental institutions in Delco.
Maybe just spitball.
It can be completely medical. Completely, yes, absolutely.
So if you do maybe have an establishment that has firm roots in either one of those calendars, you should contact our offices and maybe we can get you on board as sponsors. That'd be cool.
We're loose cannons though. We just roll with it. We'd certainly be love to welcome you to the whole fray.
We could be mentioning those every single time that we do that the week of June 25th through the 29th. So we'll find out about that.
This is a grudge match, and you'll start to see it fester more and more and more as we get closer.
I wish that I grew up in a county around here so I could just have some stake in it.
So what county did you grow up in?
St. Louis, West St. Louis County.
So West St. Louis versus Suffolk County.
Right.
Who cares?
We're just so bored.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. The surrounding counties are like kind of, there's like a fist fight going on, right? And the surrounding counties are standing around the fist fight going, oh! Oh! That's all they're doing right now. So Monco is very loud.
Yep.
So is Chesco.
Yep.
Philly can't be bothered.
By the way, it's not ever been called Bucksco. We made that
as
up.
A joke.
A joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
In retaliation or in just, you know, parody of Delco. I know, but it is now. There's some people that say it.
Well, because of us.
At Y100, I was in Delco because I was in media.
Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of the time here, living here, I've been living within Philadelphia. Yeah, proper.
I've been a proud Delco resident for about 3 years now. I grew up in Chester. Thank you.
But you're in like the nice part. It's like bordering Chester County.
That was Kathy Romano saying that.
Montgomery County, but
I grew up in Chester County. I grew up in Paoli, but I've lived in Wayne and Villanova area for 3 years.
This is a good chance for you to rally your support and show your pride for your various areas.
I live in Montgomery County, but the term Montco, when you say that, is usually meant for Montgomery County Community College.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the county itself.
People say Monco.
Yeah. Okay.
But Monco is huge.
It is very, very big.
Is it bigger than Bucksco? Because I know Bucksco is big.
Bucksco is sprawling.
I mean, there's Upper Bucks County, Lower Bucks County. I'm not positive about this. I'll look it up. But I think that Bucks County might be.
You know, that might end up as a question. So pay attention.
You never know.
You never know.
Learn something.
Uh-huh.
Monco's just better. That's all.
Is it, though.
I'm just trying to
But you can get it to the fray now because there's no real loss.
Well, time for Bucksco and Delco to join forces and kick Monco's ass.
And you would.
I'd be torn. Yeah. I live in Monco.
So a couple pieces of audio to play for you guys this morning. Triple Crown races at Belmont was over the weekend.
Did you watch?
Completely forgot.
Really?
What was even going on?
I didn't get caught up in it this year.
It's like the Tony Awards. No one watches it.
Well, because the Preakness also was the same day as the MMRBQ, so we didn't. I didn't watch that. Had I watched the Preakness, maybe I would have been into this one.
The Preakness was really rainy, and Justify won that. The conditions at Belmont on Saturday were warm. But I watched it. I found myself actually nervous about it.
Yeah.
And I guess just because there was history involved and it was...
Do you have any money? Were you betting at all?
No, but we do like a family pool for the Kentucky Derby, which is always a lot of fun. And but it was a great race, and he won wire to wire.
So did you see the thing that's coming up now where the owner of Justify had another horse from his stables in the race?
Yeah.
And some people are calling for a review, right, to see if that horse actually was employed to run interference.
Oh, no way, on the other horses?
Right, so they're reviewing, now I don't know if a formal investigation has been
kind of like a NASCAR started, team.
Sort of. Yeah. Sort of.
I'm wondering how common that is, a race of this level, of having more than one horse in the race, and if that might be a tactic that's used on a regular basis. You know?
Exactly, yeah. So what is that? Yeah,
Bob Baffert?
Bob Baffert used another horse in the stable to run interference at Belmont. Owners demand probe into possible collusion in Triple Crown win.
He's only the second trainer in history to have two horses win the Triple Crown. He won with American Pharoah 3 years ago.
But that was his too.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Baffert's a legend. And and so... Steve, yeah, I mean, it certainly raises some eyebrows. I just think that he's such a well-respected person in the industry that he doesn't need to do stuff like this to try to win.
Well, Nick, I was looking, and I think you're probably exactly right. However, if you do look at some of the closer shots, you can see that Justify is actually strapped to a NASCAR.
Not cool.
That I think is going to raise some eyebrows.
All right, we have the audio of the last part of the race. Here we go.
And Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with 1 furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hofburg trying to run him down. Vito Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner. Gronkowski was second, Hofburg was third, and Vito Rosso was fourth. Justify has done it.
It is pretty amazing. It is a rare feat. If you look at the well over 100 years that horse race, I'm curious how many.
3 years ago was the last time, and then it had been.
No, I'm just curious how many total races that the Triple Crown has been in existence. It's been hundreds, I would imagine.
140?
Not hundreds. I'm sorry, over 100.
Yeah. I mean, this is.
And only 13? That's pretty incredible.
It is amazing.
Only 13. I think this was the 36th or 37th time that it was possible that a horse had won the first two.
Wow.
In the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. And so when they get this far, even then, only one out of three times does the horse win the Triple Crown.
And the guy calling the there's a particular way and style of calling a horse race
that is
much more energized and passionate.
All right, so I don't know how this necessarily works after...
The horses run around the track.
No. After... Which way?
The pretty fast, easy.
Counterclockwise?
And the fastest one wins. Yes.
Okay, fastest one wins. No, after the Kentucky Derby, do any of those horses that don't win, do they get the race in Preakness or Belmont?
They are immediately shot.
Oh, that's not cool.
They definitely can. If you look back at Secretariat's run, I think Secretariat and Sham... both ran in all three of those races because it was a grudge match against all three of them, not just who would win the Triple Crown, but what horse was better overall. And I think they all three ran in Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont Stakes.
They made mention of the Secretariat pole in the Belmont, and so that's where when Secretariat was crossing the finish line, how far back...
It's unbelievable.
It's 30-some-odd lengths behind.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. And that's how much... what a dominant athlete... Secretariat was.
Yeah.
You know, as we're talking about this in competition, we should at some point go to a farm, purchase two horses, name one Bucksco and name one Delco, and run.
Have them race.
Yes. I assume raising and running horse races is inexpensive.
So, yeah. No, I think, I mean, how I remember hearing when I was younger, somebody close to my neighborhood had won the lottery, and it was like $1 million lottery ticket or whatever, and bought a racehorse with that money.
Yeah.
And so I assume, you know, even like just the horses.
Like mid-level?
Yeah, mid-level horses that's gonna, they're going to race at Delaware Park or whatever.
Sure, sure. Can generate some cash.
$1 million?
Could you imagine if a horse was ever able to lap?
Case, you can invest. You can be a part owner in horses.
Yeah,
you
sure.
can put in like $50,000 and get a piece of a horse. But
you can own a nut.
It all depends on.
You can.
Yeah. Excuse me. Almost puked.
You get caught.
The nut thing?
Not from the nut comment. I just burped and a little
vomit came out.
A little splash in the back there.
Way to start a Monday morning.
But it all depends on the sire and the makeup of the genetics of the horse and how much it costs. I mean, we could get my dad on the phone right now and he could tell you everything because he just got finished. His cousin just finally got out of the horse racing business, and my dad was there as he was helping him out for the last few years, and they'd go travel all around and take the horse and go and race it, and he knows all the ins and outs of it.
Yeah, so Justify Casey was sold for $500,000 as a yearling. He's now worth $75 million.
The winning of the Triple Crown tacked on, what, another $25 million or something like
15,
that?
15, yeah. He was worth 60 before the
Does
race
he
on
have
Saturday.
Any champions in his bloodline? Like,
I don't know, but he's undefeated. You know, and
Joe Frazier.
So he's related to Joe Frazier. That's his uncle on the his mother's side. And but the even for a Triple Crown winner, being undefeated is even more rare.
Well, Seabiscuit was an anomaly because Seabiscuit didn't have particularly phenomenal lineage, right?
Yeah.
And yet it came out of nowhere.
And he was smaller.
Yeah.
So my dad lives in Lexington, Kentucky, and there's horse farms all over the place there. And when at the airport, they have this seal in the airport on the ground, and they can trace all of the lineage back to all of the thoroughbred horse races.
Wow.
Down to three horses.
What? Wow.
Down to three horses.
So Genghis Khan is to us.
Yes.
Yeah, this is.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
The record keeping in thoroughbred racing is insanely meticulous.
Well, when you're buying a horse, when this sort of stuff transpires and you're talking many millions of dollars, you need to know exactly what you're getting.
Yep. So remember, it was Barbaro, right, that they had,
yes.
they had to put him down.
Right.
That
Miney and the effed up horse.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wasn't there talk of trying to extract some of his
semen
before putting him down, but that was illegal?
I don't know.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
There was a 60 Minutes story a few weeks ago about these genetically identical horses in polo racing. Did anybody see that?
No.
So they're clones.
Yeah.
And this guy who's an Argentinian champion rides clones of his favorite horse of all time, and it's genetic matches, identical matches to these horses that are champions.
Are there any inherent physical issues with that?
Not with the ones that they race, not the ones that are part of this polo championship, but he's in this league that continuously wins year after year after year.
That's kind of weird.
It's
right?
legal where they have these polo matches. It's not legal in the states that have genetically identical clones in horse racing, but you can breed them, obviously.
Imagine if we start to get to that point, like Usain Bolt, where you could just clone a winning genetic superstar.
By the way, so I kind of grew up around horses. We owned a horse when I was a kid, and then we used to go trail riding and do all kinds of stuff when I was younger. Have you guys ever been on a horse when it gets into full gallop?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Dear God.
It is terrifying.
How do you ever get a rhythm for that
and
not feel like your teeth are going to fly out of your skull or that you're just completely out of control?
My niece, you know, a big horse aficionado and worked on a couple of these, you know, tourists. You show it like upstate in the Catskills, and you go out on the tour and you get up to a solid run, not like you see like in Silverado, like
not a full. That's a canter,
right? Yeah. Right, but I mean, an animal that big, and I always get the one called the killer, a tourist destroyer, or nut ripper,
right?
And so I'm on this thing, and it's a beautiful animal, but when you start to, and you're up high. This was a big horse.
Yeah.
It was scary.
I rode horses for a short period of time in high school, and we used to go to out in beautiful Bucks County. There was this farm, and they would allow you to come take the horses out for whatever it was, an hour, 2 hours or something, and go through Tyler State Park. And we would take them up to a gallop, and we would, I mean,
we would tear through through this park.
How comfortable were you with it? I mean,
I was fine because I was.
You were practiced.
I was practicing, and yeah, I was okay. But a couple of times we would take friends, and I'm surprised. I don't know if they do it anymore. But I mean, you would just go, show up, get on the horse, and take the horse. There was no guide or anything. You went by yourself. So we were out there by ourselves.
Yeah. But I've done that.
But
yeah.
The horses, so we took a friend of mine once, and she really had no idea what she was doing. And again, they still let us go. But the horses knew exactly where they were. Sure. And this horse took off and wanted to go back to the stable.
Yep.
And he just took off to go
Goodbye.
Back. And she was holding on for dear life. To this day, she said, I will never get on another horse.
I had that happen to me one time.
Yeah.
We were out, and it was the same deal where they let you just take the horse. I was at a park, and you can go where you want to. And this horse decided it was time to go home.
He wanted to go home.
And heading straight for a tree, and I thought we were going to go to the left, and he went to the right.
Oh,
I didn't
no.
fall off, but it was pretty damn close, man.
Yeah, and I remember saying to them, like, what if we get lost out there? Because it's a pretty big park. And he said, don't worry, they know how to get back.
Yeah.
It's okay, little lady, I know the course.
they do.
They know where the food is.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're not going to miss out on that. We should, you know what, if we really wanted to follow up on this, we should go out to Cowtown Rodeo.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Those guys would hook us up. They're sponsoring our Philly's Hottest, obviously.
We should do that.
And go.
Get a few horses in the studio here, too. Bill loves that.
Go do some riding. Hang on, Katie works with horses, knows the pricing criteria for thoroughbreds. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning, Billy Belotin.
Billy Belotin. What do you want to tell us, Katie?
No, I just wanted to call in. I've been working in the horse industry since I graduated from Delaware Valley College in Doylestown, and I've been doing it since I was little. And it is insane the amount of money some of these people spend, especially on the show horses. The race horses are obviously ridiculously expensive, but we have, you know, in the horse show industry, some of these ponies for these 8-year-old, 10-year-old little kids are going for like $500,000,
$600,000. Oh my God.
For little kids.
Well, these are show ponies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It is insane. It's ludicrous.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Katie, with the price of those horses, because obviously with thoroughbred racing, we know there's a lot of money at stake and a lot of money to be won. What about money in that side of the industry?
None whatsoever.
Seriously?
I'm dead serious.
It's all for pride.
It's all for prestige to be able to say, oh, well, my kid's pony cost this much money, and it came out of this. You know, there's a lot of lineage, and there's a lot of that breeding into it. And,
So pound for pound, what's the most expensive type of horse? Like we hear, like, Arabian horses or Lipizzan stallions?
You know,
or
I would probably say that, you know, the race horses definitely go for a lot. And then, you know, and then the Olympic horses, the horses that end up going to the Olympics for the show jumping and for the cross country and, you know, millions of dollars. And they're fragile animals. They're these big, huge animals, but they're fragile.
They're
amazing. I mean, the amount of what we ask them to do is just, it's pretty insane, especially for the race horses to be running as young as they run.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. It'd be like taking your 8-year-old kid out and expecting him to, you know, run
like full contact football.
Yeah.
Do it, you little bastard!
Exactly. Well, yeah.
What's the lifespan of a horse normally?
So we actually just lost a pony. He was 34.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. But and then we have the firm that I'm working at. We have a couple older ones, but some of them, most of them, you can usually ride them up into their 20s if you take good care of them. Obviously, I'm not going to be, you know, racing and competing at that level, but just for pleasure riding. But some of them have, you know, ponies usually live longer than horses do. But, you know, in their mid to late 30s is pretty old.
Yeah, so you race them for a couple of years, and then if they're winners, then you stud them out. You do the breeding.
Yeah.
That's where the money comes in.
Their race career is pretty short. And I had, you were talking about them going for a lot of money as yearlings. I had a someone that gave me a horse, and he was, you know, they had bought him as a yearling for $150,000, and he won about that much back, so he didn't really make them any money. And after, you know, a short career, he was free. You know, he was free to get home.
He broke even, but when you got him, he was still fully functional and good to go.
Yeah, I turned him into a show horse.
Okay.
I took him and retrained him and turned him into a show horse.
All right, how much, let's say your horse wins the third race at Delaware Park. How much money as an owner do you win?
Yeah, I think at that level, I don't think they're winning a ton of money. I don't know a ton about racing. I know more about the show world. But
you get coupons to the buffet.
I think it really does take a lot. You know, it takes some, you know, really getting to the win
a lot of times for them to be making, you know, a good amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. Like I told you, my dad and his cousin were doing it, and they had won a pretty big race, and they won like $75,000 or something like that for that particular race. Yeah. It's not millions and millions and millions, but it's money, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sure. It's, you do it for the love.
Right, you've got all these, you know, sheiks and all these people, you know, that from all over the world that are, you know, it is the sport of change. It really is.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Go to line two if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, I have Joe. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to add to the story about Tyler State Park. They're going to stop that because they're running the horses too hard.
Okay.
So they still do it?
They're going to stop it because the horses are getting, they're really running them hard.
Right, and it's not fair to the horses.
No, not at all.
Now, it says here that you had a friend who had an experience.
Yeah, it's weird because he just saw Legends of the Fall. This is how long ago it was. And he figured, you know, I'm going to ride this horse, and he's from the city. So we tried to warn him, like, listen, you need to wear, like, a shirt because, you know, you're going to get hurt. The horses are going to just take you through brushing everything. He didn't listen, and the horse just took off on him, and he got whipped so bad it looked like he literally got whipped. He was bleeding.
Oh my god.
Yeah, horse is gonna go, unless you are an accomplished rider, the horse will sometimes go where the horse wants to go.
Oh yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, I think he thought just watching the movie, he was...
Sure, just like in the movies. Yeah. Legends of the Fall. I'm going to be Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Well, they get spooked pretty quick.
Yeah, it can happen, especially if like you come across a snake. Well, listen, when we were... I went out to Wyoming with my son. We went out to Dude Ranch. I was just telling you guys that story the other day. We're riding along. It's me and my son, another couple, and our guide. And we're riding along, and the woman who was in the other couple... She had her phone, and an alert came on the phone,
and
that horse reared up and threw her off immediately and took off.
Did she get hurt?
She was shaken up, but not injured. Okay. But when it happened, we all just kind of stopped and shut up and didn't do anything because we didn't want to spook any of the horses that we were on.
Yeah, the same thing happening.
Yeah. So she just kind of laid there on the ground, and we just kind of sat there. I felt really bad for her.
Oh my gosh!
Hi,
it's Mom. Are you enjoying the horse ride?
Did they tell you to turn your phones off or anything?
Well, I don't even know how she got a signal out. There's nothing out there. There's no service anywhere. But I guess she didn't have it muted. So, but anyhow, all right, Justify is the Triple Crown winner. And that's only the 13th in history. So it's a very, very big deal.
Now you can see it on the talk shows and everything.
Yep. We got to take a break. I would like to give away, let me give away 5 more passes to see The Incredibles 2 tonight.
Ah.
It is at the UA King of Prussia, and it will be at 7 o'clock. So you need to be there by 6:30. Keep that in mind. 5 callers, 215-263-WMMR. And you will get the tickets. We've been dying to see this movie. When we come back, and not your average listener, so don't go anywhere.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, give Dad some peace and quiet this Father's Day with a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley to choose from. Go to handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Listen, before we get to our Not Your Average Listener, Casey, can you give me the breaking news soundbite real quick?
Breaking news.
Very quick. We're not going to break out into discussion right now, but they teased this. Ladies and gentlemen, the International House of Pancakes is now officially the International House of Burgers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
mind blower, huh?
I heard B, and I was like, oh, Preston was right. It was breakfast.
It's burgers? International House of Burgers.
Burgers! burgers.
What? I know. It's a melon tweaker, and I don't know why they're going to do that. I mean, or if they're going to stay with it permanently or not, but the B stands for burgers.
They're saying that this throws in to question the summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un.
You know what? I didn't even think of the ramifications. No
burgers?
Burgers.
Burgers.
All right.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts.
It's a world gone mad.
Maybe, though, this is the icebreaker.
This might be. They can both agree on
that they're hugging.
That's not a good idea.
It is an international meeting.
It is an international house of burgers.
We will have to spend maybe more time tomorrow because we have a couple of guests we got to get to before the show.
Yes. So besides, we have to prepare and obviously attend seminars.
But this has been breaking news, and I wanted to bring that to you. But now on to our Not Your Average Listener, of which we have our theme song. So we got to play that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go.
No one's exactly like me.
Listen to the quality.
I'm the only one like myself. Suddenly, I'm on Preston and Steve. I am like nobody else. The Not Your Average Listener segment is looking for sponsors to help us with giving away $250 to me. Vote yes to 39333.
Okay.
We don't have a sponsor again.
No, we don't have a sponsor again.
Enough of this.
So before we welcome our next guest, I'm going to read you a portion of the email that she sent us.
Please.
To tell us why she might be a Not Your Average Listener. It's going to be up to you to determine with a vote, which we'll do at the end of this. But she says in part that I was diagnosed by Temple Children's when I was 8 years old and was told then that I was one of only a few that the doctors had ever heard of. And I'll explain in a moment, let alone encountered as a patient. I had done the typical allergy test where they prick you with different allergens, and my parents did their best to mitigate some of the common allergens that I tested positive for, such as dust. When I continued to get violent hives daily, my own mother caught on to something. I was breaking out in hives every time I took a shower. Then we noticed I would get them when I was swimming and after exercising, meaning sweat. I'd even get them on my face when I cried. After living with this for 20 years, I've grown accustomed to it. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is allergic to water.
Yes. What?
This is Lauren Ford.
Yay.
We're going to welcome. Hello, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
It's a little rainy today.
All I do
today.
Is get out of the shower.
Yeah, it's a little rainy today.
It is. Yes. I have all my skin covered, had an umbrella, so.
Okay, so technically, what is the technical name for your condition, by the way?
It's called aquagenic urticaria.
Aquagenic urticaria. Yes. Now, and it's not necessarily technically an allergy either, correct?
No. Well, it's considered a physical allergy. So it's something that comes in contact with my skin that makes me break out in hives and get itchy. But they think that it actually might be the oils that I actually produce from my body come in contact with water.
And they react with the water and create this acid.
Yes.
So is this more akin to like an autoimmune disease?
Yeah,
because I have vitiligo, and that's an autoimmune. And Preston has
psoriasis and
syphilis,
hypothyroid and syphilis.
Yeah.
No, but both of those things, there's a lot of things that fall underneath that umbrella: lupus and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, any physical allergy goes towards that autoimmune category.
Okay, so the questions, no pun intended, start flooding out when we talk about this, because I was doing some reading on it. Our bodies are comprised of 75% water,
right.
so this is on the is there a situation where it merely occurs on the external, because your mouth is full of water, saliva? Mm-hmm. Can they explain why your salivary glands aren't constantly erupting into hives and painful sores?
Yeah, so they can, besides the fact that it's just a physical and it has to do with my skin.
Okay.
But yeah, they haven't really been able to pinpoint down, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's only about 100 known cases ever in literature. So they don't have the sample size in order to
right.
be able to come to conclusions about cause or things that help to mitigate it.
Wow. So what do people usually ask you when you tell them that this is what you have?
How do you take a shower?
How do you right. take a shower is the obvious. And what is do it? You?
I get hives.
You just always get hives when you do it.
So yeah. How often do you shower then?
I shower every day.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You want to be clean.
Yeah. Really, when it comes down to it, there's no getting away from water.
Are they short showers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, generally.
And is there anything that you can use to mitigate the effects of the in other words, can you tamp down the breakout? Is there any sort of medication that will help that? Or are you just say, you're full blown in, you're going to get into the water, suffer for a little bit, and then that's that?
Yeah, well, you can take antihistamines, and that's something that you would have to take daily. So, yeah. I mean, I've been dealing with this now for 20 years. So
yeah.
I'm so used to it at this point that I don't even really realize that it's happening
okay.
sometimes. You know, people point out like, oh, you have hives all over, and
it's something
I'm used to.
I can see little spots on your neck where they look like a small rash.
Yeah.
And that's from showering probably?
Or coming in contact with.
With the rain. Yeah, that's right.
Will your own perspiration cause you to break out?
Yes, I'm allergic to my sweat as well.
So you have to can you not exercise or?
Nope, I just get hives.
Okay,
that's the perfect excuse.
Yeah,
I can't exercise,
but you want to be healthy. You
want,
I mean, so you basically have to just hunker down and do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Could you ever go into a pool or a tub or anything like that?
I get hives.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are there alternatives to showering that you've explored, like just trying wipes or washcloth or something that would not have you immersed in a shower?
Well, wipes would definitely work. Like I said, you can't get away from water, whether it's a pool, whether it's sweat. I mean, the sweat's the big one because that happens so often.
The planet is 75% water.
Yeah. So there's really no getting around it. So I've kind of gone through the mantra of just trying to get used to it and getting accustomed to it and accepting it. And then I don't necessarily notice it as much, you know.
Is it painful or itchy?
Exactly. It's very itchy.
Okay.
It's itchy. Yeah.
And how long does it last? How long will it stay with you after you get out of a shower?
It'll last about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then they'll go away.
All right. So it's very itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point at which this becomes even more serious? In other words, could prolonged exposure put you into shock or something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah. I don't think that they've found that. I think that they've found worsening experiences as you get older. But when
it becomes worse as you get older?
It can, yeah.
Okay.
And that's like any allergy. And that's what when I was you know, when they said that this is what I had, they said it could either go away or you could have it forever. It's like any other allergy. So
can you write something on your skin with water and have it show up clearly as a rash? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could write your name like on your forearm or something.
You know, I haven't tried that, but my skin is really sensitive just to begin with. So usually if I scratch or put any like pressure on my skin, it leaves that mark.
And that is wild.
Yeah.
What was it like as a teenager dealing with something like this? I mean, did it really impact your childhood, your teenage years?
It did, yeah, just because when I was going through it in the beginning, I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, I was a teenager, you know, so every time I would go to a pool or the beach with friends, you know, I'd have hives when I came out.
You have a massive, are we talking like, are we talking very pronounced hives?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's on like your chest, your neck, your back. I get them on my face.
I mean, water balloons are like bombs to you.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
All right.
I mean, sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, like when you wake up and you see a day like today and it's pouring rain, like are you just like, oh. You know, like worse than anybody else who would say it was raining.
Yeah. You know, I try not to let it get me down, to be honest, because there's nothing I can do about it.
You came in smiling.
Yeah, except for, you know, I could take, you know, a prescription every day if I wanted to. But it's a part of my life at this point now. And I've learned to live with it.
Okay, what about your scalp? I would imagine that as well. You wouldn't be able to see it because you have long hair.
Yeah.
But it gets itchy when mm-hmm. you wash.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about when you pee?
No.
I mean, so, you know, and there's an area that starts to enter the outer area.
Yeah.
No, I don't experience that. No.
Okay.
What about drinking something? Like if you drink water, do you then get the hives around your lips?
I don't know, but there have been some more severe cases than what I have where they can't drink water. And
it goes,
drink-
it's internal, right?
Yeah.
Well, they experience it all like it's like drinking acid.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
What do they drink to stay alive?
This one lady drank Diet Coke.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, she's okay with that. I thought maybe they might have to do some sort of intravenous way to get liquids into your body. You know what I mean?
What it is,
or
though.
Or go through your straight to your digestive system.
It's funny, though. Like having so many like pets in my life, you'll see they lose something. Okay. Well, then we move along. And it seems like you're okay. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can sort of. Put it into context. There, as you said, there's some people who have it much worse. Mm-hmm. So you're actually on the other end of it. What is the one thing that you would love to be able to do freely that you know, besides the obvious, but something we may not be aware of that you love to freely do that you can't do because of this?
I think I would like to go outside on a summer day and do something with my family without breaking out in hives.
Right.
I think that's, you know, the biggest thing.
The perspiration and everything,
the
sweat really does you in.
Right.
Yeah.
It's on my face. So.
Okay.
So
if you're out at like a family picnic, you've got red spots all over your face.
And I'm itching.
Do you have a fan going? Or are you always in a case where you have your, I mean, do you do like you can't do a cold rag
around you.
You'd have to have a fan, yeah.
Yeah.
So then do you therefore prefer fall and winter as opposed to spring and summer?
You know, I'm pretty impartial to, exactly, there's snow, so I'm pretty impartial to all of it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, this sounds like it's, you know, an inconvenience, but it's not ruling your life.
Right,
okay.
Right, because I'm not letting it.
Yeah.
And
then
there's people that have it way worse that, you know, don't go outside when it's raining or.
Have you met people like that? Because if you're one of a small group, are you constantly being approached for providing data?
No, to be honest. Mm. So, and, you know, other people have it worse. So I just kind of have to count my blessings. And in general, I mean, there's how many diseases that people have. Mm. You know, my pain is for 20 minutes and then it's gone.
Let me ask you this then. If you're making out with someone. And you're what happens there? Do you end up looking like Lisa Rinna with the
big puffed up lips?
Right? No, not so much.
Okay.
No.
But no hickeys, right?
Yeah, no hickeys.
Okay.
Are you single? Or are you with someone? Or
no, that's actually my boyfriend.
There you go.
And so did you, how far into when you guys started dating, did you tell him this, like the very first time? Or
oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
Has that been an issue when you meet somebody new? You've got to, and by the way, I'm allergic to water. You know?
Yeah.
Do they laugh? Do they think you're joking, right?
I mean, even doctors, when I go in for appointments and they're like, are you allergic to anything? And it's like, well, I'm allergic to penicillin and I'm allergic to water, but... But that's it. And they're like, wait, what? And then I have to go through the whole explanation.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. So.
Is there a connection by any chance to the penicillin and water? Is there a connection there?
I don't know. That's a great question.
See if anybody's... start collecting the data here.
Yeah.
But when
you're
in this, there are a number of diseases that don't have enough people to... cause funding for them, you know?
Are there autoimmune issues in your family? Do other people have, not this same thing because it's so rare, but you know, autoimmune, I don't know what the proper word is, deficiencies or whatever it is?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Lauren, do you have any people, ever have any people who you encounter who just don't believe you, who think you're making this up?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you react?
Well, they're like, well, it must be something in the water.
Do you sometimes have to demonstrate? Have you ever had to do that to that extent?
But I mean, yeah, they definitely don't believe me. They're like, well, it has to be something in the water, and it's like, well, when you put a wet towel that's wet with distilled water on my back and I break out in hives, then
right, yeah.
What about things like alcohol? And by that, I don't mean booze, like rubbing alcohol that would cause you to break out. No. Well, you can wash with that, right?
Yeah,
you could.
Actually.
I mean,
douse yourself in
alcohol. I could, yeah.
I mean,
no, it's,
Kev, you've heard like taking, putting on cotton swabs and you know, cleaning off your face or something like that.
Sure.
You could do that.
So you could fill up a hot tub with rubbing alcohol.
Rubbing alcohol.
Exactly.
Nice bubbling hot.
Yeah.
Get up to about 105 degrees.
Yeah, you'd be,
put the jets on.
Cook like a lobster.
Now. Well, this is very, very interesting. I certainly have never met. I mean, I've heard of things like this before, but had no idea of the actual rarity of it. That's pretty unique. So your oil, when combined with water, turns into acid. It's almost superhero-ish.
Yeah. You're like,
if you can only shoot your oil.
I know.
You know, out of your body.
Yeah. Well, you can go one of two ways with that too, because I'm also born on Halloween. So
okay.
Wow. Right. Oh,
you're and a witch. Can you shoot your oil?
Yeah.
All right. So I have one last question. Do you wash your hands after you go to the bathroom?
All the time, yes.
So you'll get the hives on your hands?
Not so much. It has to cover a certain amount of my body in order for the hives to really come out.
So if you dry your hands quickly after washing them, you'll be fine?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been listening to our show, by the way?
Oh, gosh. It has to be 15 years.
15 nice. Years, man. Yeah.
How many hives ago was that?
Oh, my gosh. So many. Countless.
Millions of hives ago. Wow. Okay. Well, listen. Lauren Ford is our Not Your Average Listener. It's up to you to determine if her story indeed does put her in that category and Not Your Average Listener.
It's pretty amazing.
$250 cash prize for her if you vote yes. And if you vote no, then we won't give it to her. Majority rules here. So what you need to do is vote either yes or no to 39333. We'll take a break. We'll check the results and we'll find out if Lauren is indeed a Not Your Average Listener. And very interesting story. Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll find out from you before we say goodbye to you. We'll find out if you win or not. So we'll come back in a second. Text yes or no to 39333. It is our Not Your Average Listener, Lauren Ford. We'll be back. We have another guest on the way. So stay with us.
This summer. Surprise! MMArmy is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
It is time to find out the results of our poll, our Not Your Average Listener. Somebody who comes in and tells us something about their lives and makes them different than everybody else. And it was Lauren Ford. She's allergic to water.
Water.
Her natural body oils turn water into acid when they touch her skin.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we have the listeners vote, and it looks like they've come back at 96%. Oh. Yes, we got a winner.
Wow.
Lauren is officially Not Your Average Listener, Lauren.
Awesome.
And you
thanks,
thought
everyone.
That rash would take you nowhere.
I know.
How about
look
that?
At me now.
$250. Ooh. You're on Easy Street for now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and telling your story. It's very cool. And thank you so much for listening to the show for so many years.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
thank
we will
you.
We will take good care of you and hang out for a little bit, all right?
You know, we should see about it'd be kind of ironically funny if we made you one of the judges for the belly flop.
Oh.
That's not a bad idea.
Kept her in a protective case.
Yeah, but if she's sitting poolside, she's going to get
no,
wet.
No, that's why we right?
Put a bubble around
we
her?
We could give her something.
If we come up with something, you might be down with that?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
That's a cool thing to do.
We could get like a plexiglass shield or something.
Let's do it.
Like an element of risk, right?
Yeah. I like that.
All of our judges usually coast, but this would be a real commitment.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. thank you, Lauren Ford, Not Your Average Listener. Way to go. All right, our next guest we want to get to immediately. He is in town for a couple of things. Got to actually throw the first pitch out at the Phils game over the weekend. And has a special beer that he was in town to sample at Philly Beer Week. And, I mean, who doesn't love The Sandlot?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we want to welcome, you know him as Timmy Timmons from The Sandlot. This is Victor DiMattia.
Yay!
On the show this morning. Victor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Mattia, is that it?
DiMattia.
DiMattia.
Son of a bitch.
Damn it!
You ruined it.
I'm 0-2 today, man. Well, listen, welcome to Philadelphia. I know you've been here for a few days.
Yeah. Well, I actually, I went to high school in Wilmington, Delaware.
Did you?
Archmere or something?
What's that?
Where'd you go, Archmere?
AI.
AI.
Yeah, Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. No, wait, what's AI?
AI DuPont.
AI DuPont.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Wilmington.
Nice, dude. I didn't know that. How long mm-hmm. did you stay in the area? Because I assume you took off and your Hollywood career started.
I lived out here for about 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were acting in the area? Were you doing, you know, stuff career-wise?
No, I actually grew up, born and raised in the San Fernando Valley
okay.
in L.A., But my parents are originally from Wilmington area.
All right.
When I was like 13, we moved back to Wilmington and did high school and all that. And then as soon as I got a little older, I moved out to college and back out in San Francisco.
Back out to Wilmington. Okay. It makes sense. When did the Sandlot happen? How old were you?
I was 11
okay.
when we filmed it in 92. Then it came out in 93.
Okay.
So I was 12 when it came out.
So then, yeah. So your fellow students in Wilmington had to have known about it then, right?
Uh-huh.
Did that make you it kind was, of big man on campus?
Yeah, it was very popular.
That's cool. Uh-huh. Well, that is cool, man. I mean, I think it's probably a double-edged sword. It's cool. And then it's also, you can be the focus of... bastards who want to, you know, give you crap for it.
It was more good than bad.
Well, that's cool.
More good than bad.
That's good.
Because especially for guys and girls your age, The Sandlot was a big movie. I was a little bit older. So in 1993 when it came out, I was a senior in high school, and it still rang true for me. And yeah. I loved that movie. And then my kids who, you know, now they're, you know, when... third grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade, it's still a big movie for them. So I would imagine if you were a classmate of mine, it would be more of a badge of honor than anything else.
Yeah. No, I mean, people loved it. And it probably kept me safe through high school. You know?
Oh, you kept you protected.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
We had the director in, what's his name? David Evans, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was for the 25th anniversary. They were the big release.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I mean, there was all over the place about that. So this you obviously have done other things in your career, but this is one of those things that just, you know, it's probably gives you access to just about every baseball stadium in the country at some point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. And the reaction we get from baseball players. Unreal.
Yes. And what was the video that the, I'm having a brain fart now, the team that did
the Brewers.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So, It's all part of legend and lore. Who's the most impressive of the baseball players that you've met who's come up to you and said, listen, man, I'm a Sandlot fan?
Big Poppy was cool.
Ah.
Whoa.
Yasiel Puig. Clayton Kershaw.
Any Phillies?
Mike Trout.
Oh, there you go. More in the realm. Yeah. All right. That's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
By the way,
a lot of these guys, you know, grew up on it. And for some of them, they come up and they say, you know, you guys are the reason that we started playing baseball in the first place.
Do you love baseball or do you?
I do. I'm a football guy first. Eagles, you know, Eagles all the way. Yeah. Right.
Aside from you know its effect on baseball fans and people growing up and so forth, as a kid filming the movie, the hands-on experience was a lot of fun.
It was unreal.
It was unbelievable. Right?
It was like being in summer camp for 3 months. I mean, all those guys, we became like brothers during the filming of it. And
you just had another reunion recently, right?
We did. Just in April.
Right.
I saw all those guys. We did an Angels game, and they got pretty much everybody together for that. Everybody but Benny was there.
One of you guys got really jacked.
You're thinking of, Marty York.
Right.
Yeah.
He got big.
He was the skinniest one in the movie.
Yeah, in fact, was he in town with you this weekend?
He was. The two of us did the Phillies game together.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture of the two of you together. Yeah, I'm like, who's the meathead? Because his biceps are ridiculously large.
That would be Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Hey, at the end of the movie, did they pinpoint what your character went on to do?
I had the little brother.
You're the little brother.
That repeated me after everything I said. and the two of us went on to become contractors, and then we eventually invented the mini mall.
Right. You invented the mini mall.
Right.
Yeah. And became multimillionaires.
Became multimillionaires. That's right.
There you go. Was your character the one who, where the vacuum exploded
over
your face?
Right.
I love that.
And then I came out with the dirt all over me. That was
We're
going
to have to come up with a different
film.
Plan or I forget. What
right. We've been going about this all wrong.
Well, you said you were an Eagles fan. You got to meet Jason Kelsey. That had to be
got
really cool.
Got to meet
cool.
Kelsey. That Nicest was really guy. Cool.
And he was wearing a You're Killing Me Smalls t-shirt when I met him, so that was pretty awesome.
That's great.
That's great, yeah.
And in fact, that name, You're Killing Me Smalls, is a new beer from Evil Genius, and yeah, that's one of the things you guys did while you were in town.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we stopped by the brewery and saw those guys. We tried the beer.
Yeah?
It's a raspberry shandy.
Yeah.
It was good.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. Usually those fruit beers, you know, they can go one way or the other, but it was, like, not overwhelming. It was subtle, so it was okay. It was good. I liked it.
So that's nice. Your career, you continue to act and did some stuff. I see your IMDb has things, you know, Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
And Sleeping with the Enemy. And what else?
I did Radio Flyer, which actually is another movie David Evans
great movie.
Wrote. Same writer from The Sandlot.
Crocodile Dundee 2?
Yeah.
All right. So I need to ask on Turner and Hooch, and I don't remember you in the movie, but who was that had to be cool?
Yeah,
younger
that was
Tom
cool.
Hanks.
That was really cool. It was a small role. I played the bad guy had two sons, so
okay.
I was one of the bad guy's sons. So I was in a couple scenes, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. I got to meet Tom Hanks and Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, he would have been your dad. He was the bad guy, right? Spoiler alert. Yeah. Turner and Hooch.
That's Mr. Incredible Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
And yeah. Sleeping with the Enemy.
That one, Sleeping with the Enemy, was one. I did a lot of voice work.
Okay.
So Sleeping with the Enemy was one that was just my voice. So don't go back looking for my face in
right.
that one.
All right. It's all cool. I mean, if you can continue and do stuff like that and pick up, you know, those,
mm-hmm.
and you seem to enjoy it. You know,
oh, I love it.
Some people also, a lot of times, the things they're most known for, they start to get this, oh, Jesus.
No, it's everything that you want as an actor. I mean, that's what you hope for. What, you know, you never know. I mean, I've done tons and tons of projects, you know, in my career, and you just never know what's going to be the thing to land. And so when you get into a movie that 25 years later, people still love.
And with fond memories and baseball careers started and it continues to do so, that's an honor and a privilege to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody could be upset by that. So I love it.
Yeah, there have been a ton of movies that I've tried to turn my kids onto that I liked when I was younger. And some of them take and some of them don't. But this is one. And actually, I wasn't the first one to show it. If you guys remember Erin McGarity.
Yes.
She was my babysitter. And she was the one who brought this to their attention. And it totally took. In fact, when I go into my closet, I have a painting that my daughter had done in school last year. And it was my Father's Day gift. And it just says, "You're killing me, Smalls." and that was my Father's Day gift. And I love it.
There you go.
Is that the line that you get most often?
Yeah.
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 I would imagine.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Even though it's not your line.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
It's the line from the movie, so you're going to get it.
That's the big one, yeah. That's definitely the big one.
That's cool. So a stop through Philly, and then where on to next? You're going to another ballpark?
Dodger Stadium is the next one, yeah. Saturday we'll be doing the Dodgers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's an awesome. As Major League Baseball, I mean, have you ever had a contract or a promotional deal with them, or are you just doing this sort of?
No, but get in touch with you guys. Yeah.
I mean, it's an hobby. I don't know why they're missing the opportunity.
And you want to look for Victor's podcast because I love the title "Vic in a Box."
Hey,
that's a great title.
Thank you.
So we'll point people.
Yeah,
in that
definitely check
too.
It out. It's a lot of fun.
Well, listen, we're glad your travels brought you back to nearby your old home. And
yeah.
Back through Philadelphia, and we appreciate you swinging in this.
Yeah,
morning,
absolutely. And me and a bunch of the guys actually in October will be back here.
Oh,
for
what?
We're going to be doing an appearance up in Oxford.
Okay.
So yeah, check it out. You can check me out on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Just my name, Victor DiMattia, and you know we keep everybody posted with all the stuff we're doing. But
if you're in the area again with the rest of the collective, you're always welcome to come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to.
Phil should be in the playoffs at that point too. So we're looking.
Definitely.
All right, Victor DiMattia, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
We appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a sec.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Today's a Monday. New Word of the Week prize this week is really, really cool. It's something that I've done twice, and I've been to Pocono on a number of occasions, and it's such an amazing place. It is popping you or whoever you want to in a NASCAR stock car 20 miles Pocono Raceway.
It's amazing.
It's from 877stockcar.com. It's really a unique experience. So you can do the shotgun ride or you can get behind the wheel. So we will give that away on Friday.
Or give him a pipe so he can throw it right back in your face and call you a piece of crap.
Could do that.
Or give him an experience he'll cherish forever. It's your choice.
Yep. So we'll do the letter of the day at the end of the show and give that away on Friday, which seems like an eternity away, but actually it'll be here before you know it.
Well, you know what? Following that Friday, the blood drive.
Yeah, this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
We're headed back to Valley Forge Casino Resort, their event center, and we're doing it up. And from what we've been told, the second largest single-day blood drive in the country. And we could make it number one. You know, we'll have to find out what that number one is. But sign up. You haven't done it yet. We got all the information at PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com, or you can call 1-800... Red Cross?
Knocked Up and Milky.
No, that's a totally different thing. 1-800-RED-CROSS or redcrossblood.org as well. And, we're looking forward to getting together with you on a Saturday. There's a lot of great things there as well. Window Nation gives us free pint glasses.
Yes!
To give away for everybody who donates. And we have the, I believe, for President Steve T-shirts.
Lots of concert tickets.
Yep.
That hundreds will be randomly be people will be randomly selected and given them.
Yeah. So once again, coming up, we're looking forward to it. We got to do the bizarre file, so let's do it.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. This summer, Dunkin's got ice cream inspired iced coffee in the flavors you love: pistachio, cookie dough, and butter pecan. And you can stop by Dunkin' today. What's your flavor? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. A 9-year-old girl is reportedly in rehab for her addiction to online video games. And the one in particular is Fortnite.
You knew this was going to happen. Yep.
The girl is said to have actually wet her pants during a 10-hour-long binge and even hit her dad in the face when he tried to take away her Xbox console.
Man. I'm hearing that kids are now waiting for their parents to go to bed, and then they sneak downstairs.
Sure.
Whatever happened to just watching scrambled porn?
Yeah. The girl's mom, Carol, said, "We had no idea when we let her play the game of the addictive nature or the impact that it could have on her mental health. She is in therapy for the addiction after she became withdrawn, agitated, and disturbed from playing up to 10 hours a day, sometimes playing until dawn, wetting herself so she didn't have to leave the screen."
So the parents totally missed her having a 10-hour marathon of the game?
No. I mean, I think she was doing it, and then it just started. She kept doing it didn't break away from it. So.
Hey, sweetie, in 11 or 12 hours when you're done, why don't you come down for dinner?
Psychologist Dr. Linda Papadopoulos warned that parents need to look out for changes in behavior and make sure their child has a good balance with other social and physical activities as well.
My son has been playing for about 2 days now.
And straight?
Not straight. And yesterday when we were driving back from the shore, I had to tell him, "You're not allowed to talk about Fortnite for 2 hours." Because
you've unleashed the beast, haven't you?
Unfortunately.
You know what?
Have.
Sometimes you have to distract them with crack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Look at this white powder in this vial. Isn't this interesting?
A New Yorker walking through Washington Square Park tried to break up a fight and found himself being attacked with a tarp filled with lug nuts. James Key.
The randomness of attacks these days.
Said he was in the park with his girlfriend when he saw one man beating another while screaming a derogatory term for homosexual at him.
He fought back with a knapsack filled with doorknobs.
Key said, "I made an impulsive, probably stupid decision to break up the fight." He grabbed the alleged attacker, a guy named Roland Pacheco, and tried to pull him off of the victim, but then he came under attack. I said, "Okay, now you're going to go to jail." And I started dialing 911 with one hand. The guy repeatedly sweep-kicked me and then started punching me in the face.
Jeez.
I then sent my phone down so I could protect myself and try to make a citizen's arrest. Pacheco, according to a video of the incident, grabbed a tarp with heavy lugs inside of it and began hitting Key over and over with the gladiator-like weapon.
What the hell? Does he keep those his lucky lug nuts?
I never did find out why this guy had that there. Key said,
"We let you go out to the park. I bring my lug nuts."
Key said, "I'm taking the kicks. I don't know exactly where the weapons came from. All of a sudden, it's in his hands, and at that point, I realized the guy could kill me." Key said he tried to disarm him as he was being hit with the weapon and finally got Pacheco to the ground. He said, "I'm not trying to fight the guy. I was just trying to restrain him." In the midst of that, a tourist looked on. Two other people started fighting. Pacheco's son and another man. Police arrived and Key said that as he let go of his assailant, Pacheco sucker punched him in the face several more times.
Bastard.
Cops restrained Pacheco and cuffed him. The German native was charged with assault and was being held on $5,000 bond.
I was just enjoying some outside time with my lug nuts.
Key said Pacheco's slurs against gays didn't help him because Key's dad happens to be gay. Key suffered several deep bruises to his arm, including one shaped like a lug nut.
Like a lug nut.
Yep. Pacheco has 8 priors, but police declined to disclose details about those arrests.
Insane.
A brazen couple in the UK, I believe it was in the UK, were caught romping on a gravestone. By that, I mean having sex in broad daylight.
Interesting.
The shameless pair were filmed having sex by an appalled dog walker in the middle of a Greater Manchester Church cemetery and didn't even stop when they noticed him. The couple were caught going at it. Scott Elwood spotted the couple atop of the 1890s headstone in full view of a dozen of his houses.
Oh, we're watching right now. Yeah, it's right out in the open there.
Yeah, the man had his pants around his ankles, and the 35-year-old blonde partner was lying on her back on top of the grave marker.
Jeez. My God. Scott, to me, I think that's a little disrespectful.
Scott filmed the explicit scenes before he called them scruffy C-words and called the police. He shared the footage on Facebook and was stunned when the man hit back by saying he's not arsed.
C-words?
Which I don't know.
That's
not
how you spell Nerf herders.
Not arsed.
Oh.
After the clip went viral, he commented, just try to have some fun in your life, bro. Take a risk now and again. You will feel the buzz of being caught. That's what this guy who was... Okay.
Oh, boy.
I think they're looking for this guy.
I mean, you could even go, I don't know, go behind the tombstone.
Yeah. Let's see. What else I have for you? Strange phenomenon is now appearing in the mountains of the Pacific Northwest. Big pink ponds are dotting the higher elevations, a result of something called watermelon snow.
You're talking about BPPs.
Yep, or watermelon snow. Everyone was confused, said Dr. Robin Codner, an assistant professor of biology at Western Washington University. We wondered what this was. Is this contamination? Is it a toxic thing?
There's a simple explanation. There are super gigantic watermelons up in the mountains.
Codner is the first to study the phenomenon. It stems from an algae that turns snow pink at seemingly random times and places. Watermelon snow is a relatively regular occurrence and has been spotted from Washington to Peru.
I've never heard of watermelon snow.
While it is pretty look at, Dr. Codner worries the algae may actually make snow melt faster, creating, quote, a perfect watermelon snowstorm for the world's melting glaciers. He said it could be creating a positive feedback loop for melting glaciers. The more the glaciers melt, the better the habitat for algae. The more the algae grows, the more the snow melts, and the quicker the glaciers disappear. I had never heard of this before.
Why are we the last to hear about this?
Codner doesn't think the algae is a huge risk right now, but she says the situation merits much more study. And then we'll do one more story, and we will wrap it up. Let's go with...
go with that one.
No, I'm not going to go with that one.
You don't like it?
How about this one? John Reed's home has long been an oasis for he and his wife, but on Sunday, trouble came knocking at their front door. He said, my dog went crazy barking. I hear somebody beating, so I went to the door to see who it was. It was around 4:40 a.m. Reed, who will turn 68 within a month, opened the door. There he was, met with two men. One of them rushed in. He said, slung me against the sofa there.
Over
and
there?
I went down because I had a stroke and I can't move too good.
So here he comes.
The assailant, armed with a knife, made his way into Reed's home while the other man stayed in the doorway. He held me with one hand, had the knife at me with the other one, talking about he wanted the money. As Reed told the man where his wallet was, his wife came to the room. I told her, go back, girl. Go back. I got this.
I says, Eunice, run.
The guy with the knife said.
He's talking crazy talk.
Said, go
watermelon
get her.
Snow.
She'll call the police. And I said, no, she ain't got a telephone. I got the telephone in here with me. As Reed's wife retreated, the man started rummaging through his wallet. He looked down and started counting money. And when he looked down, I hit him with my walking cane. He said
on the back of the noggin.
Hit the man across the neck and shoulder. He swung at me with the knife. I hit him on the arm.
And I look at him. I see he's eyeing up my bottle cap collection.
He swung at me again with the knife, like jabbing me. As Reed continued to strike the man with his cane, the robbers withdrew and ran from the home. Reed has been had been cut and was treated by EMS at the home. He said the second suspect never came into the home. Instead, he stayed in the doorway. He said he really didn't want to come in, afraid I'd recognize him or something.
That's right. See what they both don't know is that I have a tarp full of lug nuts at the ready.
Police say this case is a priority, and they've been investigating the crime ever since. In the meantime, Reed has a message for the men who robbed and assaulted him. He said, I may be old and had a stroke, but I'm not weak.
But I crap myself.
He said, the guy standing at the door, I think I know who you are, ooh, and you're mine.
Damn.
Ain't having it.
Want to dance with the devil?
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Are we doing everything here?
Are we? That's magical.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We skipped the Bizarre File in the last break. All right, then let's do today's lesson question. We are going to give away $50 in cash card from Armor Metal and Recycling.
Yeah.
And the question this morning is actually, you need to finish this Irish rhyme. Knick-knack, everybody's got a what? 215-263-WMMR. Finish this Irish rhyme. Knick-knack, everybody's got a what? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening and you know, then let's hear from you. And let's do the trash while we're waiting for your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Elmwood Park Zoo, where curiosity roams. Witness a jaguar on the prowl. Watch an otter at play. And hand feed a giant giraffe all in the same visit. Visit ElmwoodParkZoo.org to learn more. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Little Woman LA star, little person Christy Gibble, appearing out in public for the first time ever, having a vaginal rejuvenation procedure. The super tiny Gibble says issues with her vagina started occurring after she began using a joy buzzer as a Sibian.
Oh my God.
Cindy Crawford and hubby Randy Gerber selling their Malibu estate for $45 million. The couple had asked for $50 million, but dropped the price after the volcano stopped working.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And finally, rapper Lil' Kim filing for bankruptcy, claiming that she's $4 million in the hole. In an interesting coincidence, $4 million is exactly what Little Women LA star Christy Gibble spent on her hole. And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty, we shall see if we can find a winner. We're looking for this. For you to finish the Irish rhyme, knick-knack, everybody's got a what? And I will go to Melissa. Hey, Melissa, good morning.
Morning.
Morning. All right, knick-knack, everybody's got a...
Crack.
Yes. Nice work there, Melissa. Hang on just a second. We'll set you up with a $50 cash card from Armor Metal and Recycling in any of the construction trades, and Armor Metal and Recycling is for you. Bring all metals, computers, and copper wire to Armor Metal and Recycling for top dollar. 8300 National Highway, Pennsauken, behind Pennsauken High School. Call 856-666-5715.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you by Dietz and Watson and the Real Philly Deli Tour. Real Philly Deli starts with Dietz and Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses. Check out Bria and Latella's in Havertown, and you'll see why. WMMR.com, keyword deli. Deftones frontman Chino Moreno has released a new solo song. It's called Brief Exchange. The track is the second, inspired by DC Comics graphic novel Dark Knight's Metal. And it follows last month's Red Death, the first ever solo track from Mastodon drummer-vocalist Bran Daler.
Huh.
Both tunes are slated to appear on a soundtrack featuring songs inspired by Dark Knight's Metal, a blockbuster comic book event that involved Batman discovering a dark multiverse existing beneath the core DC multiverse.
And this really happened?
In the comics.
Oh, okay.
The set is a collaboration between DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Records. Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful show tonight. Each from a band called Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins have released a new song called Solara, which marks the band's first recording to feature frontman Willie Corrigan, William Horde Corrigan, guitarist James Iha, and drummer Jimmy Chamberlain playing together in 18 years. The track, which was produced by Rick Rubin, also features longtime guitarist Jeff Schroeder. And Corrigan, Iha, and Chamberlain last played together on the album Machina 2, the friends and enemies of modern music in 2000.
We are Smash Mouth.
While the last release to feature Chamberlain was 2007's Zeitgeist. The Pumpkins will perform Solara on Monday night's edition. That's tonight of Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The song is said to be one of at least eight of the semi-reunited Pumpkins have been recording and intend to release, although when the others arrive remains to be determined. So tonight on Jimmy Fallon, we should be able to see that.
Curious to hear, see how that sounds and the whole deal, if they're taking an approach that's sort of retro, if they're doing, you know, a different kind of sound. I hope they go back to the old sound. Mm.
Led Zeppelin issued a press release featuring a May 2018 photo of surviving members Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, and John Paul Jones holding the working draft of their upcoming book, Led Zeppelin by Led Zeppelin. The tome will be published in October by Real Art Press in celebration of the 50th anniversary of Zeppelin's formation. Wow, 50 years ago.
It's unfreaking-real.
This definitive, the press release says, this definitive 400-page volume includes previously unpublished photos, artwork from the Led Zeppelin archives, and contributions from photographers around the world. There will be regular updates and sneak previews showing the work progress, and you can stay tuned. So it should be pretty cool. And finally, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda has recruited a pair of sock puppets to perform his latest single in the new video for Ghosts. The video, directed by Shinoda, stars Boris and Miss Oatmeal.
Boris and Miss Oatmeal.
Two sock puppets with drawn-on eyes and mouths, lip-syncing to Shinoda's vocals. Ghosts is latest single off Shinoda's upcoming solo album called Post Traumatic.
Did you ever have sock puppets as a kid?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, by the way, due out on Friday. And that is what I have for you this morning in music news. I want to reiterate this because I only mentioned it, I think, twice this morning. But we have the triumphant return 5 years later of Bucksco versus Delco.
Yes.
We're actually doing it after 5 years being away from it. And every day the week of June 25th through the 29th, we will be doing a new contest, a game, a stunt, something to pit these two proud residents of their respective countries. Countries.
Well, yeah, let's make them countries. Might as well be countries, yes. Yeah. It might as well be two separate countries. But it's been 5 years of, you know, back and forth, and it should have been and what should have been.
Yep.
And we're going to do it again.
We're doing it again. So June 25th through the 29th, Bucksco versus Delco returns. Mark your calendar. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Not before I give away the rest of the movie passes to see The Incredibles 2 tonight. Mm. And it is at the UA King of Prussia at 7 p.m. And I have five pairs of passes left. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now and let's get you on it. All right, we'll be right back.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
93.3 WMMR each 6. The Preston and Steve Show is 10:37. A Monday morning. It started off just really, really nasty with the Schuylkill Expressway eastbound. Blue Route to Belmont. Big chunk of that road closed down overnight.
Yeah.
And
most of the rush hour.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Kath, you know what the last traffic report, what the status of that was?
You know, I'll look right now, but last I looked, they had one lane open, so they were able to get it open. It looks like, okay, it is jammed from the Blue Route into Conshohocken, but all of the lane closures have been removed.
Okay.
So the roadway is finally open after the flooding that was basically out there during the entire morning rush.
Okay. Well, we're not seeing any more rain for the rest of the day. Kind of on the cool side, high about 70, 72, something like that. And then tomorrow's sunshine, beautiful, 76, maybe an afternoon thunderstorm on Wednesday. Rest of the week's looking pretty good so far, but we just had to deal with that little snag this morning. Before I do the thank yous and everything, it's somebody's last day today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. One of our interns, Kathleen, it's her last
day.
What
the hell? No.
Get in here.
No. No.
Kathleen has been integral in our intern department.
This will not stand!
For a while now. She's a hard worker. She's worked a lot outside of our show, too, which is cool. Kathleen, when did you begin as an intern for the Press Institute
show? I started at the end of August.
The end of August?
The end of August.
Okay. And when did you start doing stuff with our engineering department? Like right away?
I asked Marissa if I could, like, shadow setting up for Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah.
And then from there, I got hired by Rodney in January,
And then I've been working for him ever since.
Had you done anything like that before you started helping out? Did you know your way around wiring at all or anything?
Yeah, I started doing like sound engineering for theater productions at Cardinal O'Hara.
And you worked with Bowder. You worked with Bowder as well, right?
Yeah, Brian Knab from Bowder was like the delivery person that goes to O'Hara.
Brian Knab is also a graduate of Cardinal O'Hara.
There you go. Today is her last day as an intern, but you begin a new job with?
I am an intern slash picking up hours at Bowder Audio.
At Bowder.
Yay! Yay!
Also the new production person for the Foundry and the Fillmore.
Yay!
Good for one of them, not just the only one.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you.
It's really happening.
The best way, to learn anything as an intern is just by doing it. You know, if you get the opportunity to be an intern anywhere, just getting into the engineering department, learning, hands-on skill it's so important. So congratulations. That's
Thank
awesome.
You so
yeah,
much.
And here's another thing as well. If you do end up in an internship, whether on whatever business or industry it ends up that you're helping out and say, hey, is there anything more that I can do? Or do you need help with this part of
yes.
the business or that part of the business?
Show some drive, mm-hmm. some initiative.
And that is how you can actually lead to a paying position. It doesn't happen all the time, but it definitely shows that you have initiative.
It's more likely to happen if you do that than if you just like a leaf on the water.
Yeah.
Are you still a student, by the way?
No, I graduated LaSalle on May 20th.
Nice. Okay. Yep. All right. Congratulations
Thank
on that,
you.
By the way. With, what kind of a degree?
It's a Bachelor of Arts in Communication.
Okay.
So my degree is more in like video and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So audio engineering was just something completely different that I wanted to
and
do.
And here you go. You're now in audio engineering more predominantly. It works that way, though. That's the way, you train for one thing and then you say, hey, this is kind of an interesting mm-hmm. angle. And you go for it.
So what's been fun? What experiences have you had that have been kind of cool?
I think I've been to every single remote broadcast except for like Florida.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
The one Sorry. You wanted to go to. But which do any of them stand out as kind of wow? That was kind of cool.
I really like the Camp Out for Hunger, just because it started the chain of like where I am now.
Yeah.
But Keenan's was awesome.
Yeah.
Keenan's was awesome.
And of course the Cardboard Classic. You got stuck there as well,
yeah,
right?
I didn't get as stuck as Christy in the snow.
Right.
But it did take me 8 hours to get home.
Oh my
because
God!
Because I was determined to get through it.
You and Steve
yes,
both.
Yes, we were Lewis yeah, and Clark exactly. that day. Yes.
Wow. Man.
So determined.
All right, cool. And so you're gonna go on with this this job, these couple of jobs, and pursue that side of things and see where that takes you?
Yep. I'm also one of the managers at Primer Sea Cane Swim Club. So
oh
shout
my
out
God.
To them.
I worked there.
Yep.
I worked there for 3 years.
Now, you're basically Casey.
You are me.
I'm basically Casey. But much prettier.
Was the big turning point in your life when I came and spoke at Career Day at Cardinal O'Hara High School? Is that what it was? You're like, wow, this is going to be the rest of my life.
Yummy, mommy, what?
I went back to visit, and they're like, oh, do you know Casey? And I was like, yeah, I'm an intern at MMR. And they're like, he's great. He's awesome. And I was like, I know.
Wow.
So good.
Nice. All right, then, is he your favorite? You have a favorite here of the President Steve Show staff?
I like everyone equally.
There we
go.
Why are you so successful?
No. Okay. So when you play dodgeball and you're picked last, like, that's how I feel about this. So I like everyone the same.
Okay.
He doesn't want to pick any of us last.
Right.
Like, I don't want to pick anyone last.
All right, so then we'll ask the question a different way. Who do you hate the most?
I'm not going okay. that way either. All right.
I hate you all equally.
Yeah, I hate you all equally.
Well, you've been awesome. And you know what? Since you're going to be working with Bowder, we'll probably see you again in the near future. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool.
Are you going to continue to work with Rodney?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I'll be around there, too.
Okay.
I'll cool. be everywhere. So
everywhere.
It's like I'm never really leaving.
Yep. You're like American Express. Everywhere you want to be.
Hard worker. Let's hear it for Kathleen. Yay! Your last day.
Bye.
Wow, nice.
Oh, God, they come in. They're so young.
And they leave and they're still so young.
Preston, you're waking up every couple hours for feedings.
Yeah. And then, next thing you know.
Before you know it, they're working at the Foundry.
I want to thank our guests today. We had Lauren, who is not your average listener, and she's allergic to water.
Yeah.
Very rare medical condition, and you guys thought she was not your average listener, so we gave her $250. So congratulations to Lauren. Nice to have her in. And thanks to Victor DiMattia, who is here. Timmy Timmons from the Sandlot, and he was in town for Philly Beer Week because Evil Genius Brewery's beer, You're Killing Me Smalls, was out for him to sample. So, and he threw out the first pitch of the ballgame and stuff.
Quite an honor.
Nice guy, man.
Yeah.
That was cool. And also, one last congratulations and one last thank you to everybody. Mr. Kevin, how did he say it?
Romanek?
Romanek, that's it. I was thinking ramen noodles. I was trying to remember that. Kevin Romanek was from Delran High School, and he was our last of the coolest teacher of the year in our series. And thank you, everybody, who voted and took the time to say thank you to somebody who's meant something in their high school career. And thank you to all teachers, elementary, preschool, middle school, high school, college, whatever it is. We appreciate what you do, and it's just easy for us to do that contest by going with high school students because they can actually vote with their phones.
It makes a big difference. You yourself today are going to be going to your daughter's school to watch a ritual.
It's called the Moving Up Ceremony. And Nick, you're going to one today too, right?
No, Friday.
Oh, Friday.
Yeah, okay. Friday, Ben leaves elementary school, and we'll be going on to middle school next year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a transition time for a lot of kids. And I remember, not to go off on this, but I remember this being sort of the happiest time of year pre-high school because there were zero responsibilities.
Yeah, sure.
No jobs, for a few months. Nothing.
Oh, my God, it was the best.
Nothing at all, man.
No, it's a great feeling.
Summer. Mm-hmm. That was a great word once, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And also a reminder that we have announced it's the return of Busco versus Delco.
Yes.
And it will be June 25th. Yes. Versus Busco. And it's...
Who will win? Who will be defeated?
Every day for a week we're doing this.
No one can.
25th through the 29th.
Only one will claim the victory.
So we got full-on new contests. So it'll be different games, stunts even, each and every day that week, June 25th through the 29th. Who will take the crown this time around? We'll find out.
The difference, though, this time around, it'll end up with one of you dead.
Yeah, so
that's how we're playing it.
Yeah. We had to raise the stakes a little bit.
We had to raise the bar.
Delco versus...
I didn't agree to this.
They're putting us out in the forest somewhere.
We need to do the letter of the day. Case, you going to do it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
N, as in Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
All right, there you go. And we have the perfect Father's Day gift. You can give Dad the thrill of a lifetime to drive a NASCAR stock car 20 miles at Pocono Raceway, and it provides the perfect amount of laps to get you comfortable with the race car's handling and speed. And he's going to take the checkered flag after a 20-mile run and be grinning ear to ear. Sponsored by 877stockcar.com. So we will give that sucker away on Friday. So get set for that. Go ahead. You hit it.
Well, I was just going to say the Pierre Presents with Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. The tune-in is today. So if you listen to Pierre's show at 2 o'clock, he's going to play back that really, really awesome production that they did at the Ardmore Music Hall last week. It really, interview, performance, all of it is just great.
Nice. Coming up today. Let me thank the sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show.
Daily Letter.
And the Daily Letter is?
And as in Nathaniel Ray living in a...
The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And by Faulkner Buick GMC and Trevos and FaulknerBuickGMCTrevos.com to be sure. Tomorrow on our program is a Tattoo Tuesday, so somebody's getting some fresh ink. And we have a lot of things to give away this week, so we will be doing that very thing tomorrow as well. Speaking of stuff to give away, Free Music Monday, and I got one last giveaway before we get out of here. I have a digital download of Prequel, the new album from Ghost featuring the single Rats.
Rats.
Which is out now via Concord Music Group. Caller number 14, it's yours, 215-263-WMMR. That's it. We're done.
Love it.
We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Yeah, just worked 16 hours. Get home, try to get some sleep. Oh, no. Sinus pain and pressure so bad it's got me throwing up. It's going to be a wonderful Monday.
Next message.
I love you to the F-150 pickup driver who stopped in the middle of traffic to pull the shed that's to the ground out of the road so we can all safely get to work. Legit.
Next message.
Get your tail lights fixed. It's so annoying to drive behind you in traffic when I don't know when you're stopping.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.